Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It's a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37. What? I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
There was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this grain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly safe, hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
The turtle. Always looking to save the turtle and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Evil believes in you, and you will do as you're told. Let's think about that in there for a bit while we listen to this right here.
Most people are aware that we live in an age of declining privacy where more and more of our information is either publicly available or available to private corporations or governments. In today's video, we're going to do a concise breakdown of all of the ways in which technology is recording your life. In the information age, technology has become a double-edged sword. With every new quality of life improvement, we are forced to concede more of our identity in order to use it. Scattered throughout the world today in a multitude of devices are trillions of cameras, voice recording devices, and various sensors. Fortunately for us, many of these are segregated systems, such that your smartphone doesn't communicate with the CCTV camera down the street. But as you listen to me list off today, all of the various surveillance technologies that are monitoring you, I want you to keep in mind that in the future, as the transmission of information becomes faster with 5G technology, and the interpretation of this data becomes more precise with artificial intelligence, That is when all of the technology I'm going to talk about today may become stitched together and integrated in a way which will lead to a truly frightening level of full-spectrum surveillance. Now let's dive in. Currently, roughly 63% of the world's population has a cell phone. That's nearly 5 billion cell phones. And it won't be long before everybody who wants one has one. This is the ultimate all-seeing surveillance tool. It's been common knowledge for some time that the authorities have the ability to hijack the hardware in your phone and record audio and video even when the phone is turned off. This has become harder and harder to avoid as most phones no longer have removable batteries. Your phone can monitor you through GPS tracking, video and voice monitoring, which include voice recognition, accessing your photos, including geotags that include the time and location of where those photos were taken. Your phone has biometric information, including fingerprint, eye recognition, and speech recognition. Even if the GPS on your phone fails, your location can be triangulated using cell phone towers. Your phone has numerous sensors, things such as accelerometers and gyroscopes. These can provide information about what types of activities you're currently partaking in. Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, and near-field communication are all potential access points into your phone by a dedicated hacker. Most third-party applications require that you grant them access to this functionality in order for you to use their services, and most people simply comply without reading the fine print. And tablets and laptops carry with it the same surveillance liabilities as do smartphones. We can end this video here, but that is only the start. Many modern home-based surveillance systems use web-based applications. This basically grants companies a 24/7 live feed of what's going on in and around your home. This information is not stored in the camera, but in the cloud. For instance, the Ring camera system, one of the most popular in North America, has partnered with 400 law enforcement agencies throughout the United States in order to fight crime. Cameras within malls, stores, and public transport services are typically storing data and footage for a minimum of 30 days. And increasingly, this surveillance technology is employing artificial intelligence algorithms to help it decipher what is happening on the screen. For example, there is a learning algorithm used in the security cameras of shop owners in Japan that helps spot potential shoplifters. It identifies what it deems to be suspicious behavior and notifies the shop owner. To start, these learning algorithms are always going to be ridden with errors. But as it is a learning algorithm, it's only going to become more competent in its ability to accurately decipher a scene and identify quote-unquote suspicious behaviors. Your home security system knows when you're home. It knows when you're away. It knows when certain doors are open. It knows which area of the house you're in because of the motion sensors. Probably one of the most popular infringements of privacy within the home is the Google Voice or Alexa systems. For many smart home functions, be it light bulbs, climate control like the Nest system, locking the doors, monitoring surveillance cameras, this acts as the central voice-operated control hub for all of these functions. Of course, this means that it's listening to what you're saying at all times. These services claim that they only store aggregate information and benign snippets to assist with improving the product. But this, like all of these technologies, is vulnerable to forced government disclosure. Smart meters within your home are going to know how much energy you consume. Even robots that you use within your home, like the Roomba robot, are actually mapping your home with geolocation software so that it can perform its duties. This information, of course, is stored on a cloud, all in the name of enhancing the almighty learning algorithm. Even these new smart fridges and smart appliances have all of the surveillance hardware that's included in your smartphone, including RFID functionality, in which they're going to know what types of food you eat, the quality of your diet, and your eating frequency. Smart TVs in your home and many video game consoles have built-in cameras and sometimes speakers. You may be authorizing third-party applications to have access to this hardware and thus record video and audio without notifying you when they're doing so. Wearable technology like smart glasses or smart watches monitor your heart rate constantly. They know how much activity you've had throughout the day, how much you've slept the night before. And most of these devices also have their own audio recording capabilities, and even cameras. Electronic vehicles and other vehicles with autonomous functions are going to be loaded with cameras and sensors that are going to be constantly monitoring and communicating with other cars around them. Using ultrasonic sensors, cameras, and laser radar, these cars are going to use this information to self-navigate throughout the world. Because these autopilot services, like the ones used by Tesla, actually store all of this information in order to increase the accuracy and effectiveness of its autopilot system, this means that pretty much everything you do with the car is on record. Now, Tesla claims that most of this information is aggregate, meaning that it's not storing individual identifying information. However, the capability for them to do that exists. In addition to this, in order for the autonomous vehicle age to really take root, many regulatory bodies are pushing for driver monitoring systems, things that track facial and eye movements, in order to gauge the driver's alertness and make sure that they're paying attention to the road. Most vehicles are trackable or traceable nowadays. OnStar, of course, uses GPS. Many vehicles have their own GPS and Wi-Fi built in, and most vehicles have their own black boxes or event data recorders. These are used to record information related to crashes, accidents, or vehicle malfunctions. License plate readers are constantly taking in information, which can later be used by the authorities to track your whereabouts. Many police are now forced to wear body cameras in addition to the cameras that they have on their cars. Oh, and we forgot to mention the millions of dash cams out there. Newer high-resolution traffic cameras don't only record your speed, but they're also looking for distracted driving violations, whether you're wearing a seatbelt or on a smartphone. Some of these cameras have 24/7 live feeds, while others only store selective data, which is triggered by traffic incidents. But as data storage gets cheaper and the technology improves, we can presume that even more and more of this type of data will be stored. If you use ride-sharing services like Uber, that's another record of where you were and when and how you got there. Google Street View has practically mapped the entire planet. Now, although Google Street View is not real-time, at least not currently, because it's not integrated into CCTV systems, although at some point down the road we can expect that it might be, it does provide information about you and your home, although your face is going to likely be blurred. And increasingly, there are more and more public access cameras available on Street View. Google Street View is now incorporating a technology called the Visual Positioning System. This uses AI and the camera on your smartphone to determine the exact location you are in the world. So hold up your phone and take a picture in downtown New York. This technology will know exactly where you are, independent of any geotagging or GPS. A similar service called EarthCam provides live 24/7 feeds from all over the world. Modern CCTV and surveillance cameras have capabilities like facial recognition, behavior recognition, lip reading technology, voice recognition, gait recognition, that is the ability to identify somebody based on the way that they walk. They also, of course, employ night vision and thermal imaging technology. Drones and traffic planes are monitoring the skies over many major cities. Persistent surveillance planes are gaining in popularity. Whole cities can now be recorded and surveilled in real time with a combination of ultra-high definition cameras and artificial intelligence. Never mind Google Earth, there are dozens of satellite imaging companies out there, and some are snapping pictures of every part of the Earth's surface many times every day. The only thing limiting the high resolution of some of these images are federal regulations. That's only on a national level. It's very likely that satellites of other countries can see any part of the Earth almost at any given time. We haven't even talked about your bank cards and your credit cards and the paper trail that you leave. Information about your spending habits and your dietary habits. Most banks nowadays will provide a pie graph or a breakdown of how you spent all of your money. Much can be gleaned about your personality based on your spending habits. and it's not hard to imagine how information like this can inform a digital psychological profile like the ones used in China's new social credit system. We have not even talked about social media and internet browsing history yet. People willingly provide all of the minutia of their daily lives in exchange for likes and comments. And it's becoming increasingly more difficult to anonymously use these websites, as sites like Facebook now require identification. Many of these social networks are linked with dating sites, and these dating sites have a significant amount of power when it comes to determining which matches get made. In terms of all of the information that's provided in a person's web browsing history using services like Google and YouTube, this paired with social media is where they're going to get the majority of the information to build a virtual psychological profile on you. Email and direct messages are constantly susceptible to monitoring. Phone companies and email companies have a permanent record of all of your communications. Cloud services entice people with the promise of never running out of storage. The idea is simple. You upload all of your files and documents to some remote server, and this acts as an insurance policy should something happen to your own hardware. But it also means that you've entrusted all of your data to some major corporate server that's thousands of miles away. Even video games and virtual reality typically now entail some sort of network profile, which is likely going to be tied to other social media services. Applications using augmented reality, things like Pokemon Go, not only track your behaviors and interactions, but this superimposed virtual experience actually guides your experience and will provide you not only directions in the future, but also entertainment. Most pets are now microchipped, just like your vehicles, so you don't have to be bothered with those manual tolls anymore. These new electronic tolls basically make it functionally impossible for you to traverse in certain areas without the authorities knowing about it. Various DNA analysis services, like Ancestry.com, know everything about your biological makeup that genetics will tell them. This is a massive amount of information about your biological makeup, although they do claim you can delete it at any given time. Many states in the US and countries like Canada collect biosamples from every child that is born. In some states, this is actually stored indefinitely in a state-run biobank. Nearly every baby in the developed world gets a heel prick shortly after birth. This is used to test for a variety of congenital disorders. However, in order to get this testing, you basically have to allow the state to collect and store your infant's genetic information. In terms of healthcare technology, there's glucometers, blood pressure monitors, EKGs, EEG sensors, pacemakers, even smartphone ultrasounds. All information which is potentially recorded and stored and transmitted to someone somewhere that you don't know. Body scanners in airports see what's going on inside of you. Even though federal agencies claim that they're not storing data from airport body scanners, this has been done in the past, but most importantly, the capability to store and transmit these images exists. And last but not least, the next frontier is going to be augmenting our own bodies using invasive technologies like RFID chips and Tesla's Neuralink, which is said to be the first step to becoming fully-fledged cyborgs and increasing the speed at which our wetware interfaces with our digital software. At that point, the line between human and machine will become incredibly blurry to the point of non-existent. So there you have it. No matter where you are likely sending information to some database somewhere, and while this seems like a lot to take in, all of the smart hardware that exists out there throughout the grid will only truly become frightening when it's all integrated with 5G and truly intelligent artificial intelligence technology. Once that happens, it's going to be very hard to keep a secret, either for better or for worse. As I indicated at the beginning of this video, this surveillance matrix is only in its infancy. I encourage you all to check out the documentary We Live in Public. It was made in the year 2000, and it very much predicted the world that we are living in now. And remember, have a backup plan to get off the grid if it all hits the fan. Thanks for watching, Canadian Prepper Out.
I were the devil. If I were the Prince of Darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
Yeah, he just keep on doing what he's doing. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, and if you want, scroll down on the Super chat room and you'll see a link for People Radio Network. You can click on that link and go over there and visit them in their chat room as well. So, evil believes in you. You will do as you are told. Let's contemplate on that for a bit. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that believe in God. There's a lot of people that don't believe in God. And both of those people are right. If you believe in God, then for you, God exists. And for God, then you would exist. If you don't believe in God, well, then to you, God doesn't exist. And to God, you don't exist. So, you know, they're both right. But when it comes down to evil, it's a little bit of a different story. Evil believes in you, and you can take that one to the bank. If they didn't believe in you, they probably wouldn't be doing everything that they could to get you to do certain things, or spying on you, putting a camera everywhere that you could possibly imagine. Now, how could I go and say that's evil? You know, well, I don't know. Think about that. I mean, if you believe in freedom, and you can't find any place to be alone because everywhere has a camera or a recording device or even the one you carry around in your pocket constantly, and somebody always has the option to listen in on you or track your location, that's not necessarily freedom. You know, I used to put bells on cows or cattle, you know, so you could hear the cow whenever he's out walking, he or she or whatever, cow, bull. When they're out walking around the cowbell, you could hear it and know where the cow was. Well, It kind of sounds a little familiar now, because you got a phone that you can be tracked in every single possible place that you go. Unless, of course, you're inside a metal building when you get lousy cell phone signal. But don't fear, because soon the 5G network will kick on, and it will even make it through your metal building. So there's nowhere you can hide. Right now, you could probably like run up inside of a metal shed and wouldn't be able to be tracked by infrared or, you know, radio waves or anything like that. So you pretty much you got something like a Faraday cage around you when you're inside of a metal building and they can't see where you're at. But they pretty much knew where you went. They saw you go up in the building because outside, you know, hey, they got all kinds of cool tools, cool toys, technology. You know, space-based satellites with awesome cameras and such. So anyway, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter where you go, no matter what you buy, no matter what you look at, first off, you started off giving the system the consent to basically follow you around. Just to go out there, play Pokemon Go and help them map out the terrain, plus know your habits and so on down the line. And it doesn't stop there. You listen to that podcast at the beginning and you hear all the different technologies and ways that they can map out the inside of your house and so on down the line. But who in the heck is the notorious they? We always hear about they. They're responsible for a lot of stuff. They have secret societies. They have deep state governments. They have military industrial complexes. They have all kinds of stuff. The old notorious they. Well, like I said earlier, it doesn't matter whether or not you believe in evil, because evil definitely believes in you. And so I think, you know, one of the best things that the Satan ever did, or the devil, whatever you want to call him, best thing that ever accomplished was to convince the world that it didn't exist. Just like evil, you know, what's evil? I don't know. You be the determination on that one there. You decide what you think is evil and what isn't evil. But when you talk about a technology that one day could actually, you know, decide whether or not you are worthy of living or not, you think George Orwell's 1984 or the Brave New World were, you know, something to be concerned about? Well, this is probably way far beyond all that. It's probably so much more advanced technology that will tell you where you can live and when you can do this and when you can do that, what kind of job you're going to have. And you're not even talking about a person anymore. You're talking about an artificial intelligence who are basically being groomed to learn everything that there is to know about you and humans and try to solve problems. When you try to solve problems, you look and see where all the problems are. Right now, a lot of you are out there protesting and fighting each other and arguing, and a lot of you going to war, and a lot of you have some destructive and self-destructive deals that you do. And so, you know, hey, if I was an artificial intelligence, which I'm not AI, I'm RI, I'm real intelligence, I'm kind of human, you know. So with that said, I would like to stay human. I don't want no chip in my brain that could be tampered with or whatever, give me false memories. I want to be able to, you know, live my life, with some sort of feeling of freedom. Even though in today's day and age, if you believe that you're free, you're fooling yourself, because you're not. Yeah, I mean, how can you be free when you can't even go down the street without somebody else looking at you? That don't mean just the general public. I mean somebody behind a camera who can document and say everywhere you've been. Whether you go to the grocery store, what you bought in the grocery store, how many times you've been in jail, how many times you done whatever. You think that they don't know what you're doing? The notorious they know everything you're doing. Well, for the most part, a lot of you just put your whole entire life story and your feelings right out there on public, and you get your 15 minutes of fame per day. And you get the nifty little thumbs ups and the hearts and the smiley faces and all that. And so it becomes a drug. Now, you're just so used to that drug, you're addicted to the attention. I mean, heck, on these social media networks, you can become a star, you know? But then, if you're not doing what you should be doing, if you're not politically correct, if you're not saying the right words, yet stardom can be yanked out from underneath you so quickly that it would make your head spin. And what would become of you then? Now you're all upset and frustrated. You can't get back into the matrix because they done depersoned you. They kicked you to the curb, so to speak. So now what? Now you got to try to figure out a way to try to make a deal with the system to let you back in. Or find another way in. You're really gonna try so hard to get back into the system that is oppressing you. It's insane. But a lot of people don't think about it like that. A lot of people don't think about it when they're using all this technology, and it's really cool, man. You can check your heartbeat, you can count your number of steps, you can play games where you're immersed in sort of a combination of artificial and real life events, and it's exciting as all get out. But some people believe that there's going to come a day when there's actually a singularity that occurs where now the artificial intelligence is way smarter than you are. And from that point on, it tells you what to do as opposed to you telling it what to do. If you go look in the Super Chat room, there's a trailer link to a video that they talked about in that podcast. It says that we live in public, which essentially nowadays it seems as though that is the case. If you're one of those freedom-loving individuals who like to profess the Constitution and hold on to your rights, you might find a disturbing trend in society when you see law enforcement officers who swore an oath to uphold that same Constitution and to protect those said rights. Well, they'll laugh in your face. And there's a section of society now that is infiltrating at least the Democratic side of the government. You know, you got the Democrats, you got the Republicans, but even when you got one man such as Barack Obama saying that, you know, you guys are going too far left. Well, I put a video in there that Tim Pool was talking about how Barack Obama come in and told all these Democrats, well, you're all going too far left. What's that far left ideology that would literally accept and probably even demand that their own oppression be given to them, or their freedom be taken away for safety and convenience and such? And if you listen to some of the youth of today, you might see some of the future rebels of tomorrow who might try to stand up against a system that would one day overcome them and their freedom and their family and their children. But I think right now, standing at this crossroads where we have access to technologies and tools and we can communicate amongst each other, that we need to find out who the AIs are and who the RIs are, because I think the next big digital cyber war is going to be between those two factions, the real individuals or the artificial individuals. Have you ever tried to call up a business and wondered why it seems like this modern day age you can't seem to get a real person on the phone, but you have this lady or a man on the other end, and you can tell that they're digital because of the way that their tones are, but they're actually getting a little bit better as far as that goes. And they're pretty smart. They understand a lot of what you say, and they don't understand some of what you say, but they're learning. And when you listen to this and you talk to them, it's frustrating because you know you're not talking to a real person, and you're wanting a real person to talk to. Well, there may come a day where you won't even know whether or not the person on the other side of the fence is a real person or an artificial intelligence. Now, I'm telling you, I'm a real individual. I'm a RI, a real intelligence, but maybe I'm not. You know, that's crazy to think, you know. But either way, if you're a person who loves freedom, if you're a person who wants to see this world go into a different direction to where we actually have a choice, you got some work to do. You really got to pay attention to what's going on out there. You really, if you what you don't want people to know, you got to learn the tricks of the trade on how to not leave paper trails everywhere you go. There's a reason why they want to get rid of real money, why they want digital currency, because digital currency can be tracked. Real money, you get some money in your pocket that handed from one person to the next, and you can spend that money, and nobody ever even is word to the wise of where it went. And so, unless you do, transactions in a large quantity, then certain entities won't look at it. And unless you, do business where, now trying to go to the grocery store and buy things with cash, there's cameras available and there's receipts printed and so on down the line. So it's got dates, times, and a picture of your face. Isn't that wonderful? They're keeping a photo album of you because they love you so, so much. I love you so much, baby. That's what they're thinking, Evil believes in you. You don't have to believe in evil you don't have to believe. You honestly don't. But just be rest assured. They believe in you. The Notorious They, who are they? We're going to have to figure this one out because, you got to know who your enemy is so that you can defend yourself. Barbara, how you doing, lady? Are you an R.I. or an A.I.?
I'm not sure. hey, everybody.
That's the best
there.
Answer yet.
Yeah, hey, everybody. It's really good to be here. Missed you all last week. These days, I have no idea what's going on in that arena. For all we know, we are cyborgs and been created by some fool, whomever's ETs. There's so many things that you could get caught in and be stuck in and be kind of like sidetracked by or distracted by. We've talked about the distractions and everything, and so you're talking about that evil believes in you. Well, I think I want to take it further, because those that are evil let's say controlled by evil or evil itself believes in your stupidity.
Yeah, that's it. They know what you're
going
to do.
Say that believes in how easily you are controlled. That's what I look at as they believe in you,
Yeah, they learned how to predictive program to know what is your response would probably be if they did certain deals. They've had a lot of research involved in that.
Well, they've been doing this for millennia. It's that psychological warfare, if you want to call it that, but knowing the psyche of people, the vulnerability of people, the innocence of people, the inability that they have created in us to no longer have critical thinking, they created that, they manifested that, they did a good job on that. That's why we use the term sheeple, and how that's a fine line, You have things going on in the world that, you could say, these are the good guys, these are the bad guys, these are the controllers and these are the peaceful people. And you have to really discern both sides of what we are dealing with here. Because ultimately, I just want to add this, ultimately those human people, the humans on all sides, if we want to look at it that way, are vulnerable and weak in many ways, subjected to, information, subjected to mind control, subjected to, various agendas from both sides. So, so where are we? Because you'll look at, I'm going to side with, I'm going to side with this party, There's this, right now we're in a huge political battle here in the world, not just here in the U.S., but it's a political battle. Left side, right side, left, the rights. How did that come about? I've been looking at dice. They did a good job dividing us, didn't they? They set up this party, this systematic party. You take this, you have to choose this party, you have to sign up to be on that party or sign up on that party. So then, therefore, the political people that stand up on one party or the other, basically, you are controlled by them, and you are glued and wired and chained to that political party. It's sort of like you sign up, and there you go, down that pathway with that party, whatever that party is saying, doing, spewing out, spouting out, whatever. You stand with them, you believe in them, you trust in them.
I feel like we're being catered to. Literally.
Oh, well, definitely. That's, you could call it catering. It's like, really, to me, it's like you cater to, well, it's sort of like the easily manipulated are being used for purposes, for their gain, their final gain. But I'm looking at this party thing. So we have been divided through parties, political parties. I mean, we're spitting on each other and hating each other and screaming at each other and beating each other up, calling each other nasty names because of your political party. It's gotten so out of hand. So we have been divided, deunified on purpose. This is part of the game, and everybody's just following along with their game.
Yep.
To be divided in families. Families are divided because of their political party. I mean, it's gotten to such a degree that people, of course, are blaming each other instead of the political arena for the issues that are going on. So they wind up blaming each other instead of saying, hey, wait a second. Why am I fighting my own father or uncle because they voted for this party instead of the party that I favor, and I'm hating that person now? That's what they want.
Yep.
I'm just saying, so, you know, speaking about AI, so I went to a new grocery store. I hadn't gone into this grocery store, and last week I went in for the first time on the way home. Well, there was a robot, no, an AI, running around in that store. It was a literal machine robot with a red eye, and it was like a tower. It had a base, a larger base. And
yeah, Walmart's got those.
Well, this was, yeah, I wasn't in Walmart. I was in a Stop and Shop. Do you know that I was really very upset, and another person, too, that machine, that artificial intelligence, was stalking me, literally stalking me. It was getting in my way. It was moving. If I moved to one side, it turned toward me and started to come. I moved to the other side, turned toward me, started to come to me. And I'm standing there in the grocery store like a crazy person, yelling at this machine to get out of my way and stop intimidating me. I said, this is crazy. I'm never going to shop here again, I'm saying out loud. Get out of my way. Stop stalking me. So I'm saying this in the grocery store. It was creepy. I have to say, it was creepy. But what this reminded me of, okay, so this is where we're heading. So they're testing their artificial intelligence in grocery stores, because soon there's not going to be a cashier, there's not going to be a person in the produce department to help you. It will be an artificial whatever. And so I'm thinking, this is really creepy. And this bothered me a lot. And there was another woman in there who obviously shopped there more, and she got really upset because it started to turn toward her and block her, trying to herd her in another direction. I don't know. She was upset. She was saying, I hate this thing. I don't like... And she's going on and on. Like, we're a bunch of crazy people, and everybody's going around doing their shopping with their heads down. Nobody wants to say, yeah, this is not good, people. This is not good.
Yeah, that's messed up, man. They use that to supposedly go around and scan products and stuff like that.
Well, they were not scanning the products.
They were also talking about it being security as well. So, you know, either way, that's just you just got a taste of what we've been talking about here, because I think there's going to be a whole lot more of those to come.
I'm laughing at. Okay, I'm laughing at what Gaz is talking about, that he has suffered from a really rare medical condition because he couldn't sweat. Oh my God, that has just had me laughing so much. I think he's probably talking about Prince Edward, I don't know, in his rare medical condition of that he can't sweat, therefore he didn't do it. I didn't do it because I can't sweat. Anyway, that's a little off subject, but...
Well, on that catering thing, where I feel like we're being catered to, it's, you know, if you're a liberal, you get liberal disinformation. If you're a conservative, you get the conservative disinformation.
Yeah.
But also to the extent of what they said about how, you know, when you go online, it follows your activity and it markets to you. And so whatever you're into, you're going to get a lot of that sent to you. So they already know what side of the fence you stand on, and they know how to push your buttons. You see what I'm saying? So it's almost like that one guy said, all the world is a stage, and maybe it is. Maybe both sides of these doggone political deals, you know, are just out there for the drama, you know, anti-Trump versus anti-Hillary or whatever, you know, and so this is to keep all of us occupied while all these infrastructures are gradually put into place, you know, for our, quote, safety, you know, for our security and our convenience and such. You know, they talked about the doggone cameras that were out there, the red light cameras. They weren't going to use them for traffic enforcement. A couple years later, guess what? Traffic enforcement. And, you know, there was many more examples of that. And Kmart was one of the companies out there who had a... I'm sure you probably saw it if you ever went into a Kmart. When you go up to the counter, they had this deal where it was like a hand, and it had a X right in between, you know, the thumb and the first finger. And they said, they would tell you at that time that it was just to demagnetize stuff, which, no, it wasn't there to demagnetize. It was there to read something. So I honestly believe that Kmart jumped the gun on the chip readers that you were supposed to have at some point in time, the RFID chip, so that when you go up to the deal to pay, all you have to do is put your hand down on that deal and it would scan your hand. And I haven't seen them, you know, of course Kmart I think they went out of business. Are there any Kmart stores left?
No, not around here.
But either way, I saw those back in the day whenever Alex Jones was talking about all kinds of stuff about, you know, one world government and microchips and cashless society and all that. And I was alarmed whenever I first saw it. I mean, it's shaped just like a hand. It's on the counter. Has this little X right down in the one side there. So you put your hand down on there, and if you had a chip in your hand, you could pay for your products or whatever without ever even having to take any money out of your wallet. That's kind of creepy if you ask me. But, you know, of course, that's just a conspiracy theory, Barbara. That's all that is.
Well, it's getting pretty creepy out there. So my first experience with an artificial intelligent robot in the grocery store was not a good one. Not a good one. Yeah.
No, I don't think they're going to be good in future either.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's going to be worse. I mean, it was basically, you know, if you don't want to be intimidated, if you don't want to be harassed by a robot, forget it. There you are, you know.
Well, they got artificial intelligence programs that learn your habits, like when you're in the store. You remember, like I said on a show prior, I said, when I go to the store, because there's so many doggone cameras and I know how people, you know, misconstrue, I don't want the embarrassment of somebody saying that I'm trying to steal anything, because I'm not a thief. But nonetheless, every time I go in a store, I find myself facing towards the camera and reaching in to get my cell phone and showing the camera what I'm getting, what I'm putting in my pocket, so that there's a record. I'm getting my phone. I'm not stealing anything. And, you know, that's just one little tiny deal. But they got a artificial intelligence that actually watches while you're walking through the store, and it will determine whether or not you look suspicious or not by, you know, you turn your head this way, you turn your head that way. It looks like you're looking to see if anybody's around so you can steal something. It recognizes that. You see what I'm saying? So, what if you just kind of heard something and you look around to see, hey, what was that noise? You know, somebody dropped something, and suddenly here comes security bot. He's coming to get you, Barbara, because you look suspicious.
Yeah, I was really not a happy girl. But you also said that evil believes in you.
Yeah.
And even if you don't believe in evil, evil believes in you. And can you bring Patty in? I'm trying to bring her in, but I can't seem to do it.
Yeah, I'll get her.
And then you said, God believes in you, but if you don't believe in God, God doesn't believe in you.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Well, I'm going to disagree. What I mean by that is
I'm saying that everybody's right. You know, whether if you believe in God, if you believe God exists, then to you, God doesn't exist. Vice versa. You know what I'm saying? It's not that.
Because you don't believe in something beyond or something omniscient, or you don't believe in a creator or whatever.
Yeah. So that's what I meant by that.
Yeah, but I'm saying it doesn't mean that you're outside of the consciousness or awareness of that.
No, I don't think that either. You know.
So yeah, okay. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, my reasoning for saying that was that, you know, you don't have to sit there and argue with somebody whether God exists or God doesn't exist, because in their mind, you know, they already got it made up. You know, and if you don't believe in God, why would God have a reason to believe in you? I mean, logic is what I'm trying to say.
Right. Yeah, Patty's trying to... I'm just saying, she's laughing at me because I keep pulling up add people, right, to the chat. And when I pull up the add people, she's not on there.
I found
her. I keep trying to find her. She's on right here, I know.
Huh.
I know. Anyway, so speaking about... let me see. I've been looking at, as you know, we've been talking about for I don't know how many years, all the stuff. The insanity, all the crazy stuff, all the indoctrinating, all the brainwashing, mind controlling system, and so on and on and on and on. And I'm looking at where we are now, and what's going on in the whole world is something very, obvious. That there's something being planned here. You have them inciting, people are being incited all over the world to riot. You know, you have all these different countries. I think it's a full year now that in France people have been rioting in the streets. You have Hong Kong, and you have Chile now, various other countries that people are in the streets crazy. But there's something else going on. There's like this military, you know, collective is happening and being set up for something. So I'm just looking at that, but I'm also looking at something in the, let's say, the hidden realms, okay? There's something's going on, as I've always said, there's something beyond this, right? There's something at work here. There's something going on that we are not privy to. And I'm not talking about the cabal, or the elite, or the hidden agenda on that level. I'm talking about something greater. There's something going on that is out of our control. No matter who you are, whether you're of, you know, the cabal or whatever, whichever side you're on, there's something going on that is out of our control. And it's sort of like, I guess you'd say, the question that Patty and I have been talking about, okay, we see all these things, but what is the final piece? There is a final piece, and we have talked about our being tunneled or funneled into this, or corralling, right, being corralled into something. And recently I was looking at this disclosure about some technology, and it's interesting because Patty and I on one of our recent shows was talking about time travel and manipulating the future for a certain gain, for certain people who have had the ability to time travel, and what has been going on in that arena. So ultimately what I'm looking at is that does exist, that something apparently it appears that there has been that going on. We had the Philadelphia experiment that had to do with time travel. We covered that, as well as some other experiments that the governments have been working with for many, many years now, and the technology that they have been given by off-planet, you know, ETs, that our governments have been given. And we see that. So this time travel thing, looking at that and recent information, brings the question of, okay, of a plan. A plan, and I'm not going to call it a divine plan, but because then people get a little bent, out of shape. Okay. But a plan, or let's say a program plan, that no matter what you do, okay, we were talking about this on our show, Patty and I, about probabilities, that apparently probabilities, or all types of probabilities, are getting less and less, to the point where there will be no longer any probabilities. And I guess you could say that has something to do with our free will. Because we have free will, there are all kinds of probabilities. So what I look at this is to try to identify this as, or clarify this for you, it's sort of like we have had an opportunity, humanity has had an opportunity for millennia, to determine and to choose one pathway or the other. And of course we'd want people, our families and so on, to choose a pathway, you could say, of goodness and compassion and love and peace. Of course, that's what we want. You know, that's something that we all pray for. So when you look at this, the probabilities of all things disappearing and getting less and less as we're being funneled into this timeline, talked about the timeline. So regardless of whether you believe in evil or believe in God, does not matter. There is an ongoing timeline that has been functioning, and it's out of our hands at this point, at this stage. In other words, you had plenty of time excuse me, to determine which pathway, what you wanted to align with. Now, these opportunities, these probabilities are thinning, okay? They're getting less and less because of this particular timeline. And this has to do with what we've been looking at is the, I guess there's something called a view into a mirror, that gives you into the future.
It's like a remote viewing that the military and the CIA supposedly were involved in getting people to remote view to see certain things, you know, basically.
Well, it is on the
out
level,
of body experience kind of thing.
Well, yeah, but this is a technology. It's actually a technology. There's something called the yellow cube that apparently these technologies were given to.
Patty said looking glass.
Looking glass, yeah. The looking glass is a technology, as is the yellow cube. And both of these were given us, not you and me, but governments, to utilize and benefit by, but they have messed up. They've messed them up. They've used them for bad things, as we could say, right? Because we're human. So basically, we have faults and we have issues. We have ego. We have issues. So we're not so, I guess you could say, we're not so able to utilize these technologies for the good of all. So aside from that, these technologies brought information to certain persons about this final point in this timeline. Excuse me. Yeah, looking glass. Alice got one and it messed up. Yeah. Messed up her world, exactly. That's true. That's why Alice, this rabbit hole thing, and Alice, and the Mad Hatter, and all that stuff has been a lot of our what we've been realizing. These cabals and elites have been utilizing these code messages and so on.
Well, but I think there was actually even a reason for the movie The Matrix, because if you see how The Matrix ends up playing out, where you know, you're actually being used as a battery by the system, and the system is catering to you, putting you in this world, and you think you got all this excitement going on, but in reality, you're laying there in a pod and being used as a battery.
Yeah, well, it's in a way it's like that, because the battery represents frequency, it represents energy, so we are energy and frequency. That's really, to me, what that represents. So in that movie, it was really indicating, they didn't use these terms, you are energy, you are frequency, and we're using your energy, and we're using your frequency, and we want the worst possible energy and the worst possible frequency from you, because that's what we prefer, and that's what feeds us, and that's what creates the insanity, and that's what keeps you stuck, basically chained here to the fourth world of chaos, being utilized for your insanity, for your madness, for your hate, for your greed. So this is all about frequency and energy. Again, it's the same thing. And it's pretty amazing, actually. So I guess what I'm looking at is, to me, and I've said this before, and I'm interested in of course, everyone's perspective on this, I feel nothing matters except how you function with your frequency. Nothing matters. None of this stuff that we're looking at and being inundated with and pounded with, these horror stories, this insanity, the chaos, the controllers, the political arena nightmare, none of this matters. But people are embroiled in it deliberately because the powers that be need these frequencies of chaos. So nothing matters. It's sort of like coming to that place that the only thing that matters is my connectedness and relationship with Source and how my frequency is. On what level is my energy and my frequency? Am I doing good work here? Am I holding a frequency of love and compassion? Because this is a key piece at this timeline, and I keep talking about the timeline, and now this basically the looking glass proved, you know, through that technology that there is a timeline. And once we crossed over this timeline, which actually was in 2012, once we crossed over this timeline, the availability of all probabilities or possibilities has been disappearing. So what does that tell you? So the information that I got from Spirit basically was that there was a timeline that ended where people had the all possibilities to change and shift their frequencies into a higher one, to become enlightened, if you want to say, or awakened, or to step into, you know, the conscious awareness, you know, of who we are and the power that we have as far as that frequency of love and compassion. And 2012, it was spoken about in the Looking Glass, was the end of that all probabilities, and they started to dwindle as we're being funneled through this particular timeline. It's inevitable where we are going. And so the elite realized that their end game is that they're done, that they are losing, that they're going to lose. This is the words of those people that are doing this investigation with this technology, that they saw that they will lose, okay? But that doesn't mean that they're going to stop pushing the insanity and the madness and the chaos because they're so desperate, and that's why we see all this stuff ramping up. We see people in the streets, people killing each other and so on. We see all this stuff, and it's done for a reason. The reason is because they need more people in that timeline of chaos. So we have two. We talked about this on our show, Patty, me, and Star. There are two timelines here. There are two parallel realms here existing. The world of chaos, the fourth world of chaos, and the fifth world, thousand years of peace. And they're entirely different. So right now we are heading towards this final determination of which one you are going to choose to enter into and to become in that realm. Fourth world of chaos or fifth world, thousand years of peace. And it's basically in our hands, and the probabilities and possibilities of our determining if we want to move into one or the other is basically becoming limited.
Well, so, I kind of think that we're actually being funneled into a certain system. These folks that did the We Live in Public documentary, they did some seminars about it as well, but they said that they were asking the audience, how soon do you think all this would happen? And they got, of course, obviously different dates, but they said they believe that it's going to happen. There's no stopping it at this point in the game. That, you know, eventually the computers and the technology is going to get so incredibly advanced that at some point in the game that it's going to be telling you what to do, you know, for your benefit or whatever. What do you think about that?
Well, I was just focusing on the chat here, but I missed what you said.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, they're saying that by 2030 or 2050, one deal is like within 7 years of now, that they're going, that this artificial intelligence is going to exceed mankind as far as how smart we are, and get to the point where we're so dependent on it that, you know, it's going to be telling us what to do.
Well, it is. I think that it has already happening. I mean, that's the whole process, is we are being inundated. I was looking at these. I mean, this is a little off topic, but I think it's significant in a way, because it really brought to mind how the mind control process has been happening with people and their behaviors, and prompting them to do really dark stuff, evil stuff. And I got stuck because it's so huge that I was just dumbfounded, and I got stuck in this rabbit hole investigating the, quarter of a million, and this was in 2018, known pedophiles in Britain, in the UK.
Hey.
And I got stuck in this rabbit hole because this is quite stunning, but this was a documentary on this, and I was looking at the people and this controversy, of course, difficult situation about pedophilia and how people view pedophiles. And this one man who was heading up this investigation was talking about, as most people are, is that there's nothing you can do about that. There's also types of investigations about the difference in the brain. Is there a difference in the brain? Are people born this way? So there's all kinds of controversies, but why I'm talking about this is the mind control that we have talked about. Remember the billboard that tells you something, you hear a voice in your head?
Yeah, and that's another dilemma about why I said that there's no way in heck they'd ever get me to take a chip in my brain, because you wouldn't know what your true memories were. You wouldn't know what your true thoughts were.
Well, I started down this rabbit hole by looking at this one case of a mother killing her child. And she was, it was a case, and she was arrested, and it was her trial and what happened. And I got very intrigued by this because I have noticed, and I've talked about this, but apparently this is worldwide. It's not just here in the States. This increase in violence against children, you know, killing their child or abusing their child or you know, what the most vile things going on by either the mother or the husband, the father, or the mother's boyfriend or somebody. And I got looking at this, and it's so huge that it's really quite devastating, but that led me into this pedophile rabbit hole. Now, why I'm talking about this again is the mind control, because there was a young man there who says that he is a pedophile, but he never acted upon this. In other words, he's never been involved with a child. And this person who was doing this documentary went to interview him, and very skeptical, you know, believing that eventually he's going to act upon this. There's no doubt about it. In other words, how much control does a person have? It's sort of like, well, you know, what are your thoughts when you're around a child, and in particular that you want to, you know, be involved with this child? How much power do you have to control that? Well, this person, the young man, was very concerned and very worried. He said he never acted upon it, but he was terrified that he might. And I started thinking about the mind control in this instance. So I'm looking at the voices people hear in their heads, okay? Like, I've noted this before about how people say, well, I heard a voice in my head telling me to kill, 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 or this one parent decided to kill his daughter because he felt and believed she had evil inside of her. So he heard this voice in his head. So I'm looking at these remarks that people make that commit these things that say, I heard this voice in my head. So I'm looking at this, and in my watching this pedophile, this young man, I'm thinking, is this one of these mind control things, you know, that is saying these really creepy, evil suggestions in the minds of people that act upon this stuff, that become a pedophile or act upon that, or violate someone or murder someone. I'm just looking at this mind control thing because this is rampant, and I'm looking at that aspect. I don't know if people are born to be a pedophile. Like, I don't believe people are born hating and people are born prejudiced. But I'm not a scientist, so I really don't know that. But I'm just looking at the mind control thing.
Well, because of that billboard technology actually being in existence and the capability of putting, you know, voices in people's head, we know it's possible. But, you know, they would want to... If suddenly you started going up there in the ranks and you was going to become a congressman, but you weren't with the agenda and they didn't really want you to be a congressman or woman or whatever, you know, they could put all kinds of crazy stuff in your head. And here's the scary part about it. You know, it's like when you start talking to somebody about a conspiracy theory, they've already got the labels already printed out for you, that the moment you talk to somebody and something doesn't sound, you know, on the up and up, like, you know, did we or didn't we go to the moon and all that, most people believe we did go to the moon. But you start talking to somebody about that and you're already in that zone of where nobody wants to believe you. So if you start telling somebody that you heard the voice of God in your head, they're going to look at you cross-eyed. Yeah, right. You know.
Well, I kind of think that we already been to the moon, so that was just a hoax. And more and more what I'm looking and reading about now, more recently, is that that's already been done. You know, as many other things that we think are just now new or possibly we haven't done, that we have done. Technology is beyond our imagining. It's been kept hidden from us. This is becoming more and more obvious. With various disclosures of things, and people who have worked in the whistleblowers coming out who have worked in these arenas are now talking about this. But the mind control thing, and I did say this, over the years I've had people come to me kind of seeking counsel, and they've said to me, well, I'm embarrassed to be here, and I'm kind of uncomfortable to speak about what's been going on. And what they disclosed to me is that they have been hearing these very creepy thoughts come into their minds, like really creepy things and vile things and creepy things. And they're like shocked about this. They're like stunned because this is not the type of person that would think of these things. So that right away brought me to this conclusion that there's a mind control factor here. There's something in the ethers. There's information being put out, and certain people are vulnerable to them. Well, we're all vulnerable to them. The point is that you have to know and discern this is not me, that this is some outside entity. But before all that,
what better way to steer somebody away from public office to either make them believe themselves that they're crazy or make their possible constituents believe that they're crazy because of the things that they're saying that they're hearing? You see what I'm saying? So it's a control deal.
So the level of mind control is very real. It's been present in our lives, and of course the technology has always been there. It's just now that we're learning more about the technology. that has always been present. The level of mind control is pretty stunning. But I'm just looking at the behaviors of people and looking at possibilities of the mind control being involved in that. Another thing is, like, you need, not you, they need a certain level of frequency, a dark frequency, let's say sacrifice, if you want to call it sacrifice. So we talk about the elites and the different, and the ancient sacrifices of children, and we talk about the levels of these and what they really represent and how it's just been pushed back behind the curtain, but it exists, but there's a purpose for it, and it is a frequency, it's an energy. Like when you go to war, there's trauma, there's terror, there's negativity, there's violence, there's all these frequencies involving war, and that feeds something, and this is what I'm looking at. So this is, to me, what we're up against, is the level of frequencies to create the mind control of the people's behaviors, which prevents us from critical thinking, and it prevents us. So we have also the mind control and the push about, you know, like free living and accept everything. You know, don't have any critical thinking. There are no morals. Morals are stupid. You know, morals is old school. It's all those old people that think we should have morals.
I think it also sets a lot of people on the path to somebody's got to get even. It don't matter which war you're talking about. When you go to war, whether what for whatever purpose, which side was right or which side was wrong. When things happen, like, you know, somebody gets their family killed in a war zone or something like that, they're obviously, you just made an enemy. And so that is a continuous. I always brought that example up about the little Palestinian girls, because the doggone reporter asked the Palestinian girls, do you ever want peace with Israel? And they said, no, we hate Israel because they killed our mommy and daddy. And well, you flip that on the other side of the fence and ask the little Israeli girls the same question, they would probably say pretty much close to the same exact answer, but you have a perpetual war, like the Hatfield and McCoy syndrome.
Well, that's,
you know,
what they need. And so, what would you say if, and you may even tend toward believing in this too, what would you say if it is proven that the, for instance, the government has been, creating what they call collateral damage deliberately? Well, collateral damage is people, children, families that have nothing to do with a threat at all. But deliberately creating collateral damage to create terrorists so that they can keep their war on terror going.
Well, I would believe that. That's the whole concept of the false flag. You get a perceived enemy that attacked you, and so that gives you justification to go to war, and that gets you the rallying cry out to the people, so to speak, so that they are willing to go to war for you. Otherwise, if they weren't doing all these crazy things, like, you know, even going back to what was supposedly happened in Hawaii during when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. They supposedly knew about it before it ever even occurred, but they let it go ahead and play out so that they could actually get us into war. Now, that's pretty evil, if you ask me, because a lot of people died during that, according to history. And that's not the only one.
Yeah, well, I think, this is becoming more and more real and obvious that this has been taking place, because there are certain factions in the government that need the war. They need the control, the controlling factor. They need us to go to war. The question is, we've been having these little wars, okay? Little wars, tiny wars, I'll call them tiny wars, although if you're in that, it's not tiny, it's not little, it's huge.
Yeah.
Have been going on deliberately, you know, Afghanistan, Syria, you know, Iraq, all these places have been a continual war going on.
Well, there's a lot of money to be made. There's a lot of power to be had. I think they're all volleying for power in their version of what they believe the next new world order is going to be, to see who's going to be in control of that so-called new world order.
Well, they need a war. What I'm saying is they need a bigger war rather than these little skirmishes that you know, out there in the Middle East and places. They're funneling us.
To some extent,
I'm going to say, as a last ditch effort.
To some extent, I think that the biggest war, outside of what we would conventionally think of as war, I think that the biggest war that's already in play is what we've been talking about, by pitting all these people together to get the people of the world to fight each other. Before too long, they'll be begging for assistance, because if all this, for some reason, just, you know, there's a straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak, you know, and when that happens, and society just up and snaps, and people are running around doing all kinds of crazy stuff, the people who are, you know, maybe, I hate to use this terminology, but, you know, a little less, more timid than the average Joe who's not a fighter, you know, they're obviously not going to want this to happen. They're going to be in fear of their safety, their children's safety, and so on. And so they will be begging for somebody to come in and bring peace. You see what I'm trying to say here?
I do. And with all of what we're talking about, again, I have to come back to the point of the truth, I feel, and the reality of that no matter what they're perpetrating, no matter what is going on, we really need to battle it, and we really need to remain centered, and we really need to remain in a higher frequency of compassion and love. In other words, it's like, how am I going to live my life with all this stuff happening?
Yeah.
It's our choice, right? It's basically our choice, and I have my own self to answer to, and my creator, if and when that time comes, is how, you know, like there's this way we believe in our tradition and the Indian tradition. So when you leave your body and you travel out across into the other, you know, on your way back, you meet the elders. The grandmothers and grandfathers are there waiting for you. And they say to you, oh, granddaughter, grandson, we gave you a job to do on the earth. How did you do? Okay, so now you have to figure out, okay, what was that job I was given, and how did I do? You know, you're answering to someone, right?
And yeah.
But it really is seeing yourself fully and wholly about how you functioned here on this earth, what you participated in, what were your choices, were you kind, were you compassionate, were you, you know, did you strive to do your best to, you know, to be in that state of mind of grace and, you know, what we call walking in the beauty way. Now, we are being inundated with all this insanity deliberately to distract us from being in that sacred way, in that beauty way. It's driving people crazy and mad. And we're talking here about the sounds in people's ears, this high-pitched sound and ringing. And Stephen brought up harp. He said, because Angel was saying how he's had these frequencies, you know, in his ears, this high-pitched sound, and I have had this. So many people have had this ringing in the ears, or even a different, like almost I experienced the ringing, but I also experienced like this Morse code sound, but it was ringing. It was pitched. Angel says, I hear a high-pitched modulations and digital tones out of the blue, sitting in the house, no matter where he is, it's been happening for years, and Uj says the same thing, and, you know, and Stephen says it's more likely harp, he's been hearing it for years too, and most people I talk to about it can't hear it, so some seem more sensitive than others, and I agree with him, you know, so what I'm talking about is here, we are being hit on all kinds of levels with frequencies, with, you know, at these particular types of levels of waves, electromagnetic waves, you have harp, you have various other things. I think in addition to harp, there's more now.
Well, because of the way that our chemistry and our body's made up, even in your inner ear, there's liquid in your inner ear. And
yeah,
the water, when you study science and you learn about water being a dipole molecule, then that means any electromagnetic wave can actually interact with those molecules in your body. And at higher frequency ranges,
absolutely.
higher frequency ranges.
Fry your brain.
Yeah. Like microwaves, you can actually, they actually have signs on cell towers that you're not supposed to be within a certain feet of it because of the strength of that field that, you know, you can actually get cooked. So,
right.
It's not beyond the realms of possibility that somebody, we already know about the billboard, that somebody could literally use that frequency range to move the liquid around in your ear to cause your eardrum to actually hear an audible sound from that. It's like transferring data, whether it be digital or whatever.
Yeah, and it's not only affects your brain, it affects your whole system.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your cells, your organs. But the thing is, if you're interested in more, it's not just the billboard. If you investigate HARP, basically, which has been present for, gosh, I don't even know how many years. Maybe I'm sure that Stephen knows. Because I remembered reading the article of the guy who wrote the book, HARP. Angels Don't Play This Harp, H-A-A-R-P. And he happened to be in Europe, I think in Russia or Germany, on vacation with his wife, and he read in one of their newspapers about this program called HARP and the seriousness of it, and it happened to be in his home territory, which was up in somewhere in, I think, the north, and when he went back, he started to investigate it, but the thing with HARP was supposedly came to be by the scientists disclosing this, or whistleblowers said that it's about emotions. It's a system that will affect an enemy's emotions, like drive them crazy or cause them to, you know, fall down on the ground and whatever. It's a powerful frequency, but I think there are more of this happening, this technology here. So, and it's funny because Patty says, funny how at this time of greatest fear and war, that we have a peacemaker who has appeared to make everything all right, except that it has only caused more separation, anger, and hate, and more division among people. And she's right, but it reminds me of, you know, what happened to Jesus, if you want to say. Jesus came, you know. Buddha, you have Kanku Khan, Feathered Serpent, you have the peacemaker here on Turtle Island, all came with the same message, and you know, you have to look at what happened to them. Again, I have to look at this as the battle of the dark and light. Somebody comes carrying the torch, and those that live in the dark, you know, want to put out that torch.
I think that book, Angels Don't Play This Harp, was written back in 1995.
It was Nick Begich.
Yeah.
Nick Begich, right?
And Gene Manning. I'll post a link to a where you can actually buy the book if you're interested in it.
Yeah, and so I guess so this whole thing, I was looking at, someone wrote on Facebook about how upset they are at the hatred, white supremacy, and bias and Nazism since Trump has been elected. And I wrote that this country was founded on basically slavery, white supremacy, you know, slavery, separatists, genocide, and so on. So it didn't start with, you know, and of course he's identifying Trump as a Republican. So then I said, you know, is it Jefferson, I think, what was the one who had, a lot of them had slaves. He was a Democrat. And Washington had slaves, you know, but he was a Federalist. I mean, the Republican Party really hadn't started yet. But anyway, I'm just looking at all these things and how people are so mind-controlled to be divided. And this is what they want. They want us divided. They want us fighting each other over this political process here. They want us hating each other, pitted against each other.
Well, I gotta be honest that every time I hear that whole white supremacy thing today, it just frustrates the heck out of me. You know, I'm perceived to be white. I've got, you know, other heritage in me, and so I'm not, I guess what you would say, true European or whatever. You know,
right.
But I don't think a whole lot of people are. Hi.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at this, and of course you can't talk to these people. You can't have a conversation with most people, because in a conversation about white supremacy and about this division that is being deliberately perpetrated on us to create this disunity and hate, okay, this identifying oneself as a race, I'm this, I'm that, you're this, you're that, is deliberate to me.
Yep.
You cannot talk to any of these people about that. They'll attack you. They will. There's no conversation here. There's no dialogue.
Yep.
Basically.
And that something as simple as a red hat can trigger them. It's crazy. I mean, it's beyond crazy, and I'm positive that it's all intentional. I'm positive that all of this, all of this hatred and discontent is set up for a specific agenda in order to keep ensuring that we never come together. We can't even get along. We can't even decide where to have breakfast together, let alone try to figure out how to fix the world together. And those of us who could, you know, are in the minority. There's a lot of people out here who really want to make the world a better place, but they don't want to do it under this this weird agenda that all these other people, that says that you essentially got to sacrifice a large majority of the population so that you can have control over the ones that are left over. And who gets to decide who gets to stay and who doesn't get to stay? You know, who gets to decide what's worthy and what isn't? Well, you know, that's why I'm really seriously concerned about the AI systems that, you know, I've seen all the movies. I'm sure you have too. When the AI finally figures out what the problem is here in the world, we might very well be that problem. There are actual people who believe that humans are a virus on the planet, on the earth, you know? And so with that said, we're the problem. You know, and so we should be dealt with accordingly.
Well, reading the Allies of Humanity, which I had spoken about, and I did read a couple of years ago the whole books on Allies of Humanity, one thing that they did reference was that the ones who are out in the cosmos, they don't want us out there because we are too violent, we are too warmongers, violence against our own people, against each other, and the violations of the earth and in each other and the children and so on. And they don't want us out there. They say we're not mature enough. Now, I've read that in the Allies of Humanity years ago, and now this Looking Glass whistleblower was saying, well, one of them, there were two, John Wood and another fella, Dan something, they both intimated that the allies, or those ETs out there that had given certain technologies for the good of the whole, saw that the human people, how we messed that stuff up and were using it for harm, had to make a treaty with, I guess, the governments, which I am familiar with the treaty that Eisenhower made with the Greys. There was a treaty made, but apparently there are others, and other in communication with them, and they said they don't want us out there because we're not ready. We're not ready to be out there. So it's like when you come upon a strange animal, like the Bigfoot, okay, for instance, everybody's looking for Bigfoot, and there are some who say, when we find Bigfoot, we're going to capture him and do experiments on Bigfoot. Now, that kind of thinking, so when you come upon some strange creature from another realm, what are you going to do? Are you going to shoot it? Because that's the mindset of the human person. Let's kill it, okay? Let's just shoot it. Maybe we can experiment on it, right? So these beings, these entities from out there, I guess you want to say, are saying they don't want the human population out there, but now we have Space Force. Okay, why do we have Space Force? Okay, I was looking at this, like, okay, so if this, if the people in the government know that there are ETs and that we have been in communication with them and actually working with them and using their technology, and they know they exist, why do we need Space Force? You know, will force your way out and just destroy whomever gets in your way or who may look different, a different race. Okay, well they're not us.
When I first heard that doggone phrase, Space Force, and I actually heard the president say that, my mind went automatically in a different realm. It's like, it was unbelievable to hear a president of the United States even say that phrase on TV. It sounded sci-fi. It sounded misleading, dishonest. There's so many different things I could actually tack onto that. But at the same exact time, because and I'm gonna try to tread on this lightly. There's also a flat Earth movement out there in this world that's actually gaining ground, and there's conspiracies against NASA and whether we ever did or didn't go to the moon, and you listen to all that stuff there, and then you hear these words coming out of your mouth, out of the president's mouth, it sounds, after hearing all that stuff, to a logical mind, that this is another great deception getting ready to play out over the people for whatever purpose. Does that make any sense?
Well, I think there is that, but I think it's a diversion.
Well, it could very well be, but we also have technology that literally, because I saw, if you remember way back in like a 70s or 80s, they used to have this really cool holographic video game that you could walk completely around the table and you'd see this little cowboy and his horse, and there was a shootout game or whatever. But modern day, they actually had Michael Jackson on stage after he supposedly died, that did a concert using this type of technology that is so pretty doggone incredible that it literally looks like you're looking at the person. Now, what could you actually do with that? They used to have a conspiracy out there. I don't even know if anybody even talks about it anymore. Operation Blue Beam or something like that, where they could project something into the sky and you would actually see this and think we were either under attack or God just came back or something. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Well, I think that, again, I have to go back to this point that no matter what is happening, the flat Earth conspiracy, the no moon landing, the attacks of the ETs or the whomever's, whatever's, inner Earth, any of all that, what's going on, what we see happening, to me, okay, is irrelevant.
Well, I agree. I mean, all of it combined, you have now an understanding why it is that people, normal people, what would be considered normal people, are literally flipping out these days. So, like, how are you supposed to know what to believe and what not to believe when there's...
Well, that's part of the plan, is for people to flip out, and this is why you can't stop people from flipping out. If, like I said, if you try to talk to them about this bigger piece here and what is really going on, the controlling of their minds and so on, to get them to flip out, they can't identify with that. So what I'm saying is, those of us who may be a little bit more aware or a little bit more connected to source or have that stronger foundation, I guess I'm saying is the only thing that we can do is to hold the frequency of love and compassion.
Well,
that frequency is key to the bigger picture. That's, I can only do what I feel in my heart and spirit is the good thing to do. And then I don't even know fully, because we may never know, but I must answer to myself. I do know, I do feel strongly that all this stuff we look at can either take us and destroy us, or we can choose to use it as information to share and pass on to others, hoping that they might wake up as well or find some source of the strength and power within themselves.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
It's just that, you know, a lot of people are so incredibly distracted these days without that kind of, I just like to say, spiritual connection or something. You know, most folks would just go flat out insane. And your true strength is actually in yourself, to be able to discern when you're seeing things in real time whether or not this is reality or not. I just saw a movie yesterday, a part of a series, where this one particular person had the power to literally, when you looked at them, your inner fear would be projected in front of you, and people were running around terrified every time they looked in this particular individual's eyes. And the one officer pulled a gun on a killer clown, was aiming it at some just random lady. You wouldn't know the things that you could be tricked into doing with that type of technology would be mind-blowing. This is too much power for any persons out there in any kind of positions of power to have, even to the extent of the HARP program. That's too doggone dangerous. There's a lot of technologies out there that are too doggone dangerous for any one person to have control over. I actually can visualize a day where they literally will have technology-free zones where little bands of rebel will be there. You can't bring any kind of cell phone or any kind of electrical device into this particular area because of what's actually going on in the real world. Do you think that's a possibility?
Well, I think there are all types of possibilities. I guess the one thing that's new piece here is that it's not new to me. That's why I'm sharing. It's not new to me because when 2009 I got the message from Spirit that basically said, this is a different timeline that we have entered. We will be entering the timeline where what is most significant and important for every individual is to step away from the system and stop looking at written information, questioning everything from a perspective of what happens to you by asking someone else. This is the timeline of going in, becoming enlightened, to find the source within you and to function in your life on a higher frequency. That means to get away from all these indoctrinations and all these persons who say, I'm the authority and I can tell you what your dream means, or I can tell you why this is happening to you, or I can tell you what to do.
Yeah.
So it's like this is the level timeline of enlightenment.
Well, do you think,
and the wisdom within you that we must start to basically identify the wisdom within us, and that is our source.
Do you think, with all that said, that you know what you and I and Barry and Patty are, and a lot of others are doing right now while we're sitting out here talking about all this kind of stuff, you think that puts a target on us for the future?
I'm sorry, say that again.
I said, with all the what we talk about on these shows, do you think that puts a target on us for the future?
Well, I don't know about the future, but I think that I know I have been targeted. I think you have been targeted. I know other people who have been targeted. We've been messed with.
Well, I believe that. And so with that said, we gotta try to figure out some way to help everybody help themselves by, you know, at least understanding that there's things in this world that we don't necessarily understand, but you have to be aware of them. If you're going to be able to be defensed, be able to defend yourself against anything, first thing is you got to be informed. You got to know what the potentials are. Does that make sense?
Well, I think it's like I can only say that with everything that I've experienced in my life has brought me to this moment in time to be talking to you and people about this stuff. And yes, I have been targeted.
We keep stepping in. You and me and Patty and Barry, we keep stepping up. We keep on coming in. I mean, there's a lot of people that would, when they first got this kind of information, would have run for the hills and started preparing a bunker. But there's something different going on here.
Well, I nearly did that. Didn't you nearly do that?
Oh, yeah.
But because there's such a power inside of me that my connectedness to spirit was so strong that I didn't step away, and here I am, and it's even stronger now.
What'd you say, Patty?
They said Barb did step into the hills.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Well, I did, too. I live out in the country, you know. But the thing is, there's something different going on here because we keep coming in to this this matrix and trying to reach out to people constantly, even though we know that it's not just the average Joe listening anymore. We know we're being profiled. So, you know, I'm not saying that that makes us like superheroes or anything like that. I believe it just shows that we have love in our heart and concern for others, you know. But, you know, this is a weird time we're living in.
Speaking about, yes, going to the hills, basically, because I was told that I needed to do the sacred works. And in order to do the sacred works, we have to get away from the matrix. We have to step out away from this system. In order to be able to be empowered and be in our center and be in that source, we have to separate ourselves, step away from, like we're always saying, step away from the system. And to not get involved and caught up in that other system, that system that is detrimental to us, that is controlling us and taking us down. No, so it doesn't mean that I'm not aware of it, and it doesn't mean that I'm not talking about it, but I'm not attached to it.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just, all the reason for my purposes here, I'm not... I want no part of what's going on out there outside of the fact of trying to, you know, throw up the warning signs to people, let them choose for themselves that, you know, hey, I'm not going to tell you have to believe in anything, but you got to understand the world that we live in. You ain't got no place to hide anymore. It's so much technology, and it's just constantly advancing, and we're actually accepting it willingly. You know, and that's why I say in the deal, evil believes in you. It don't matter whether you believe in evil or not. Evil believes in you. You will do as you're told according to what that evil actually believes. I mean, it's already profiled us. We're being profiled every time we do anything anymore.
Well, you will do as you're told unless you are able to discern that frequency of evil.
That's the key right there.
So, yes, so, and I have to say, they first started off by disassembling our ability to discern through critical thinking and sensory perception.
Yep, and so even illusion with the types of video technology and audio technology, even illusion is used to try to deceive you into going the wrong way.
But you have certain persons like myself and Patty and you and others that have maintained this, and I call it a gift from Creator because it's nature, it's part of our nature to be able to discern energetically, sensory, through our sensory perceptions. We have more than five senses, you know.
I believe that too.
Yeah. So we have that ability, and you can gain it back. But you have to work on it to gain that back. But we were all given the ability of critical thinking and discernment through our sensory abilities. Now, as I say, it's like this is not an intellectual issue here. This is not a thinking process. It is a sensory process. In other words, what you sense, what you feel is key. So because feelings tell us harmful frequency, a dark frequency, or a joyous, loving, compassionate frequency. There's. It's simple, but if you don't have that ability to discern, then you can't identify that you're being attacked, or that there's something glomming onto you, or that is around you energetically that has a frequency that isn't good.
Well, there's also the aspect now of the genetic manipulation in the womb of children. That are being born, DARPA and other agencies with CRISPR technology. I just read an article the other day to where they're ready to start building other life forms completely different from what we have now. And with that technology, when they start talking about it, when they start putting it out into the news, it means that they've already been working on this for decades. They have been manipulating the womb, all these vaccinations, all of these things that they're doing. I got an echo somewhere. But anyway, this is what we're looking at. We're not... what's happening is not just simply by the neuralistic programming. It's not simply by the voice-to-mind activation. It's not... it's through everything. All of these things are built to work in conjunction. And what they're doing is they're short-circuiting the brains of the people. They're manipulating children in the womb so that when they're born, they don't have the cognitive abilities that they should have. We see it now, this autism that is taking over, the exponential growth of autism in children today are breeding a new breed of people who don't have the capacity for critical thought, but do have the ability to be specialized in any specific area, like mathematics, like science, programming, things like this, to where that is all they understand. That is their language. They're like little computers that have one job and do it well, and they're perfectly comfortable with being set in a room in front of a computer or wherever and having that as their job. Some of these high-functioning autists that we have out there, they have to be fed because they won't think to eat for themselves. That's how focused they are on this one venue of knowledge that they have. If this keeps on going with the rate, if you look at the rates of autism every year that are being put out there, it's astounding.
Skyrocketing.
To see. Yes.
It's unbelievable.
They are manipulating. Right.
There's nothing to see there, Patty, with the correlation of the rise in vaccines and the other chemicals that we're putting into the body. Nothing to see there. To me, it sounds like the perfect calling of the herd to me.
Yep.
Let's make them all little robots, grow into this world as a little robot, be a robot, do your job, shut up, and we'll take care of everything else.
Hey, Barry.
Hey, good to be here, guys.
Barry.
And we also, Duke Willis is in with us today,
cool.
Too, guys. I know he's going to have a few things to say during the course of the show.
Cool. Before you get too
Hi,
far,
everybody.
Before you get too far away, Barry, something you said and something Patty said, I want to throw another concept on the table that might give you something to think about. You said about turning people into robots, and Patty was talking about how, you know, people could be specialized in any specific deal, even though, you know, they had a certain condition or whatever. Well, think about this concept right here. The best possible super soldier would be an individual who didn't even know that they were a super soldier. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just play a video game.
Yeah.
Years ago, they made a movie that told us what the best super soldier would be. The movie was called Short Circuit. And ironically enough, just a few days ago on Facebook, I saw a video of two guys who have developed robotic soldiers. Gee,
I think
Short Circuit.
Well, yeah, robotic soldiers, but
it becomes reality.
What I'm talking about.
When are
people
going to realize that the Hunger Games are entertainment that is reality?
Yeah.
Well, it all is. Everything they put in front of us as entertainment is comes to tuition. We could talk about so many different things and so many different movies that now are a reality in our society, and yet we thought it was entertainment.
Yeah.
I think it's how they get their jollies. You know, they like to put it in front of our face. We think it's entertainment. We think it's right out the left field, but it's actually what's coming down the tubes.
The type of super soldier.
I have to correct you there, Barry. It's not entertainment for them to display what they're going to do. They are obeying the rules that were laid out upon evil. God said,
clean hands.
you must proclaim to your victims what your intentions are. The devil must tell his victims what he's going to do, and I point to the Georgia Guidestones. The prophecy continues to be played out. They have to tell us what they're going to do before they do it to us.
Yeah,
the Hunger Games, Short Circuit, the Georgia Guidestones.
It's
there. You just got to see it.
That concept of the super soldier that I was talking about would be more in the lines of a Manchurian candidate, you know, somebody who, you know, you get like those videos where somebody calls up and they ring a tone in somebody's ear and it triggers some training that they never even knew they had. They go out and they do a task and then they come back and maybe they even get arrested and they don't even remember any portion of why they did what they did. But if you wanted an army that is basically undetectable, you wouldn't have a centralized army where everybody knew who your army men were. You'd have all these individuals out there who were literally, at some point in their time, either abducted and trained or whatever, to be that super soldier, to, you know, intervene in certain incidents. You see what I'm trying to say here?
So we have these shooters that every one of them seems to have about the same M.O. Oh, they were a quiet guy. All of a sudden, they just went rogue and went and shot up these people.
Yeah.
You're talking about Manchurian candidates there.
Yeah.
These are sleepers. These are people who have been they've been on these drugs. They've been to psychiatry. They've been manipulated for quite a while, and then they're turned loose. They don't know. If you look at these people in court, I remember seeing the one who did the shooting. He had the orange hair, remember?
Yeah.
They showed him in his court appearance, and he looked like he was just out of the world. He was not even cognizant of his own being at the time. Yeah. Yeah, and all of them are like this. They have that doe in the headlights kind of look. Even Timothy McVeigh, when he was arrested, I mean, he was like stumped. He couldn't hardly speak and everything. You know, these are things that have been being noticed for a long, long time, but no news media is going to talk about this.
But to that extent, Patty, think about this. Even if they weren't some sort of Manchurian candidate, when you pump this type of information out to the world about how there's this secret society and they're evil and satanic and they're going to take over the world and they're going to kill you, you get people out there. I felt this myself because whenever I started listening to doggone Alex Jones back in the day during the Clinton impeachment trials, the things that he were saying to me at first were completely unbelievable. But then the further I went down the rabbit hole, the more paranoid I got, and I literally went into full combat mode to protect my family. Not to the extent where I was planning any kind of, I'm going to go out and attack nobody. No, I was making it plain and simple to anyone who saw me from the outside that I was not a person to mess with. I dressed in full black combat gear 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I still, to some extent, still do this to this very day, but not to the point where, you know, I'm carrying around all these extra tools in case the apocalypse happens at any given second. But it affected me that much that if it affected me that much, I can only imagine what it would do to somebody with maybe, you know, a different type of mindset, where they would think, okay, I'm going to attack first, and, you know, forget this. But all that stuff that was told to me back, even starting during the Y2K, all the way through the Alex Jones era, where he was telling about all these different, you know, lizard people and everything under the sun, you hear all that, you absorb all that information. If any of it sounds plausible, you're going to react accordingly. And I think that's what a lot of these individuals are, you know, under that, with exception of the ones who may very well be, you know, mind controlled, if that makes any sense.
Well, look at the state of the world today. Look at the state of the people here in the U.S. Look at what's being propagated through the media and through the governments here. What are they talking about? They're talking about divisiveness. They're talking about incitement. They're talking about warring against your fellow man.
Yeah.
They're not talking about rising up against corruption. They're attacking, the media's putting it out that, oh, these guys who wear red hats are bad.
They're
and the red hat
silly.
Guys are saying, these other
the
guys
media puts
are bad.
It out that Don Cherry is bad.
They're openly saying Civil War on the news. They're openly saying it.
Every media outlet is now talking about Civil War. And what do I see? I see the militias jumping up and saying, okay, we're ready. We're ready. You know, and this is all programmed.
I believe
it's a program that's running.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe you hit the nail right on the head, Patty. And I think it's an intentional move. But getting back to what Barb was saying, we got to have ourselves some sort of grounding, some sort of understanding, discernment to realize when we're being played, when we're not. I wish more people would actually, think along these lines.
We need to step into the raging river and let it go. Yep. I mean, we can't continue to. I mean, the people who are up at arms at each other. For these ludicrous reasons that have no basis, that aren't looking at the big picture, we're not going to be able to do anything about them. They're caught up. If we could have done something about them, then it's been done. But right now, I think we're at a point to where it's coming down to the wire, and we cannot keep getting caught up in this chaos. If
yep.
we adopt this chaos, then we become a part of it. We have to keep clear minds. We have to keep clear spirit. We have to know that these things are coming. They're not going to stop. They are going to happen, and we have to prepare accordingly, I think.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we always say it many, many times, Patty, out of chaos comes control. And the problem is that, you know, the people sitting in this room right now and people listening in on this show have a pretty good gist of what's going on, but the common man, a lot of them are still living in their bubble.
Yeah.
And they refuse to look at anything that's negative. I see it all the time in people. They want to back right away when you start talking about critical issues. Well, that's another part of programming that's happening in our society. And we talk about robotic soldiers, man. Well, we say many times on this show that their technology that they actually have and possess right now is probably anywhere from rough estimates 10 to 20 years ahead of what we know about.
Yep.
So if that's the case right now, then what do they have put away in the little storage locker ready for a special day?
That's
and I keep talking about that issue because I believe that that day is coming, and I also believe very, very strongly that they have little toys put away that is going to make our toys absolutely obsolete if we ever want to stand up against them.
Yeah. So would any of you agree with the fact that it all boils down to the individual strength of each of us? We gotta be strong for ourselves if we're ever going to even be remotely strong enough to help anyone else.
Yes.
Well, that's why you gotta start your day with a little prayer because it works.
That. I believe
if
that.
If it works for me, I start my day with prayer. Every morning I get up and I say a little prayer and I ask him for strength and wisdom and guidance in my life. That's all I ask for. And that's my morning prayer. And I think everybody needs to do that at this particular point because we are getting into some very, very crazy times.
I believe that.
And it's only going to get crazier.
Well, that's why I
look
say.
At what it's,
my
look morning, what it's doing to people's
my morning
minds
prayer
in society, man. Everybody's going nuts right now.
Dear Lord, make my left knee work properly today.
Yeah.
My morning when I
There's
wake up,
I
the first thing that I say.
Getting up in the morning, climbing out of bed, and doing a face plant on the floor because my knee decides it doesn't want to wake up.
Well,
the first thing I do
up.
When I get up
well,
is noise, I just say
on the ground.
Hold on, let Patty finish.
The writing is in the book and the writing is on the wall. oh, what's coming is plain and visible for anyone to see if they simply open their eyes and look.
Yeah.
And it's not going to get any better until it gets a whole lot worse.
Absolutely.
Okay, let Patty finish. What was you about to say, yep. Patty?
I'm just going to say, when I wake up in the morning, I'm grateful. That's what comes. That's the first thing, is that I am grateful. And I don't have any fear. If the world were to go to shit today, sorry about that, if it were to fall apart today, I would be good, because I know I'm in the right place. I can't do any more than what I'm doing, and that is standing in truth and standing in love.
Amen.
Amen. That's all that I can do.
That's really all we really have now, Patty, because I agree with you 100% that, you know, I honestly believe what is coming is going to come, and there is nothing that we can do to stop it. It's where you're at in your own life, what you base your strength on, and your foundation. If you don't have a foundation right now, the chaos that's ensuing is just going to consume you. I talk to people all the time, you know, people that don't even watch radio, don't really have a clue what's going on in the world, but I hear this all the time from people in conversations, that people are going crazy. And I hear it all the time. So where's that coming from? What is causing that in society? You know, that's a 3-hour conversation in itself, but the fact is, to hear that in general conversations now, it kind of, I take note of it all the time. And people seem to be losing their minds at a very, very quick rate. Boy, that sure makes it easy for us to be rolled over when the time comes.
Well, that's probably why I'm doing okay, because I'm already crazy before all of this.
You're a wackadoodle, I know it. So is Barbara.
Maybe that's our saving grace.
I love that word. I've actually used it in a couple of my radio shows. I hope you don't mind, because it was your word, and I know you have patents on it, but I have used it a couple times.
Maybe that's our saving grace here, that we are a little on the crazy side. That's how we can, you know, still not, you know, go over the edge. Does that make any sense? What do you think,
Barbara? Well, it's also important that we inject a little humor here and there, because if we don't laugh at what's going on, we will go insane.
Yep.
Well, I think if I'd like to say something, thank you, everyone, for your input and perspectives, and humor is good. I feel that as a person who was made to feel crazy, very young, made to feel different outside the whatever, as stupid and crazy and weird and a nut, that I own that by saying I'm a wackadoodle. Yeah, I'm crazy. And I'm just saying, because it doesn't affect me anymore, because people will think of you what they want. You could turn somersaults and inside out and go insane to try to get people to see you or respect you or accept some perspectives, and they are unable. So either you're going to drive yourself crazy, or you're just going to say, well, I am crazy, and it's fine, and these people are also crazy, and we're all wackadoodles, and there we go. You know, it's like that. I don't care what people say. It doesn't affect me, and it shouldn't affect us. Don't take things personally. Our elders have been saying, whatever you do, especially now, don't take anything personally, because when you take things personally, you react, you don't think, there's no critical thinking, there's no discernment, you are just a reactive person, and that's where things go downhill.
Well, I agree with that.
So, yeah, wackadoodle is just, it's good to be a wackadoodle. It's good to have other wackadoodles in your life.
Yep.
We are the wackadoodles, na 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 na.
Cool. That was a good song. I bet that hits the top 10.
So, yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
I've never heard you sing before, Patty. I think you should continue on. We have a new talent here that we don't even know about.
Na, 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 really?
Yeah, I know. That was
you
cool,
never
man.
Heard my...
Well, what's that song back in the day? Na, 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 hey, hey. Goodbye. Who sang that?
Na, 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 na.
Yeah,
I remember that. I do remember that.
Well, that was back in
In today's day and age, being a little bit crazy might get a little bit more attention. It seems like that's what people believe that they have to do in order to be able to, you know, get recognized out there. You see some of the things that people do to themselves and others on YouTube and Facebook, and the way that people treat each other, it's mind-blowing. And I don't think that all of it's just random. I think that there are, you know, basically what I was saying earlier about how I feel like we're being catered to, instigated against, all these kind of things in order to get us to act a certain way, you know. And man, if any of you out there, you know, I'd say let's just go 40 years and up. Go talk to some of the youth and just listen to what they believe today. Just listen to what they think and what they talk about. Sit around the campfire with them and have a real deep discussion about life in general. And it's going to do some things to you. It's going to make you fearful for the future and actually feel sad about, you know, the way that our society has actually gone downhill. There's a lot of folks out there, a lot of young ones out there who just, they just don't believe in nothing, but they have lots of things that they're interested in, you know, and I just don't understand. At some point in time, we used to have, like, you know, elders and stuff that we would look up to and would go to them for advice and stuff like that. But I don't see that anymore. I don't see it, you know, like, you know, being a grandfather and having my children, you know, my children, my personal children, they have finally come around to where they come and ask me for advice and talk to me, but they still got strange beliefs that they had developed with the way that all this information flooded into their lives. And so, go ahead, Patty.
Well, I was going to say, children today, they don't have a future. They've been taught that the world is ending, that we're destroying the world, that there is nothing left for them. There's no future for them to look forward to. They're running around amok because they see no reason to aspire to do something great, to do something good. It's all wasted. It's all trashed. Ergo, why should they even try? And then you've got a school system and you've got a government that is backing this up for you. You've got the UN putting young children up before it, calling out the people of the world, saying it's your fault, we're destroying the earth, we don't have an earth anymore, it'll be gone. You got a congresswoman who's standing up saying the world is going to end in 12 years. What are these children to look forward to? When I was a child, the world was wide open. When I was a child, I could aspire to do and be anything because those opportunities were there to see. There's nothing to see anymore. And these children are running on this. They have no hope. Yeah. And if you don't have hope, then there's nothing for you to build upon, you know? Why be good if the whole world is going to die anyway, right?
And I also see a trend where all the younger kids are living on basically on the edge of a fantasy world where, you know, they're promoted into all kinds of things from vampirism to, you know, things like witchcraft and magic and all that kind of stuff. You know, I know that back
then, that's all they have.
Back in my day, whenever I watched cartoons, they had a lot of slapstick-style cartoons, Tom and Jerry, and so even back then, they even had some racial undertones, overtones, whatever the word is for it, but there were things that, you know, probably shouldn't have been showed to us back then. But nowadays, it's like, it's totally worse. You sit down, you folks ever get an opportunity, and some of you probably already do censor the things that your children watch on TV, but sit down literally with your children and watch completely the shows that they watch. and listen to things that are said in those, and the YouTube videos that are the most popular that little children watch. You know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old children watch them. And you're going to see something that hopefully disturbs you. You know, enough to where you'll actually start getting involved in talking with your kids about what they're seeing on TV. That's the thing you don't see anymore. Grandma would used to sit down and she'd read from the Bible. You know, that's not something that's encouraged anymore. It was all right to go to school and pledge allegiance to the flag and one nation under God. No, that's not encouraged anymore. Anything that has to do with freedom and the Constitution, that's not encouraged anymore. Used to be that you had to learn the Constitution before you could graduate from high school where I'm from. You had to know that you had these rights and all that kind of stuff. But when you go out there in the public and you see a public official literally laugh in your face when you start quoting your rights according to the Constitution, the same Constitution that they swore an oath to uphold, we got a problem.
Well, half these people have never had civics. They don't know what a government is. They don't even know what their government is. So they don't have anything to fall back on. They're just taking for granted what's being fed to them through the media.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, the cartoons I watched Yosemite Sam and his gun and him going after the Wily Rabbit. I watched the coyote trying to kill the Roadrunner all the time. I watched all of these things. I did not go out thinking the world was all about coyotes killing Roadrunners. You know, I had the discernment to know that those were cartoons. And when I went outside and we played cowboys and Indians. I was always the Indian, just so you know. But
I was the cowboy.
But it was play, and we knew it was play. There's no more play today. Today it is all about the shock value.
Yeah.
When your children are watching these shows, what they're getting to see is, it's like when I was like, 10, 11 years old, me and my mom used to sit down and we used to watch Alfred Hitchcock at night. That was her favorite thing. And when some of those things came on, man, I had to hide my eyes. Right, but there was never any gore scene on the TV. You heard the, you saw the person on the floor, but there was no blood or anything that splattered all over the wall. Now that's commonplace. Kids are getting this. This is what kids are putting in their minds right now. These are the pictures that they are forming their outlook on life on, and they're made so realistic now. And then they have the Xbox, and they have these
Grand Theft Auto,
right? Things that are teaching them that these things are acceptable without. There's no good guy coming. There's no in Grand Theft Auto. The whole game is about you killing police and doing things, stealing cars. There's no good guy in this.
Yeah.
You know,
I can define the difference between Grand Theft Auto and Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. And it all boils down to one simple bottom line. The end of every episode of Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner, the end of gun-toting, what's his name, Sam with Bugs Bunny, right? Every one of those episodes ended exactly opposite of the way Grand Theft Auto ends.
Yep.
Every one of our violent cartoon episodes ended with the Bugs Bunny or Roadrunner character, the good guy, finishing as a winner, and the bad guy, the coyote, Yosemite Sam, taking a beating and put down.
Yep.
Good triumphs over evil in all of our childhood cartoons.
Absolutely.
That's the difference, ladies and gentlemen.
And then
showing a modern day cartoon for kids that exemplifies good and evil and shows them in the end good triumphing over evil. Show me that today and I'll tell you that it's better than the cartoons I watched as a kid.
Let me ask y'all a question. Does any of you know what a poop emoji is?
A what emoji?
A poop emoji.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah, who, what kind of parent would buy them, their children, a poop emoji? If you don't, if you don't know,
oh, you mean like
same
little pictures of poop?
Yeah, well, essentially, it's a little stuffed toy. It's shaped like a pile of poop, and they call it a poop emoji. And for some reason, this is considered amusing. It's considered funny. You know, it's no big deal. And
parents that don't have pets and don't make their kids clean the dog poop out of the backyard buy those toys for their kids.
Yeah,
my
kids
have to rake dog poop out of the backyard. They'd get mad at me if I bought them a pile of poop as a gift.
Yeah, well, the thing about it is it's just one little tiny example of, you know, what I consider the deterioration of morals or whatever you want to call it, that, you know, if these are the types of toys that they sell children, and it gets worse than that. I could go into a whole bunch of toys out there on the market today that children are getting, and, you know, a lot of them potty related or whatever like that. I understand, you know, when I was a kid, all the girls in the family had baby dolls and stuff like that, and they even had some almost realistic baby dolls, but it never went to the extreme of what it is now. It's like somebody's trying to top the last one or whatever. But, you know, within the entertainment and the toys, and then when they get older, all the different types of first-person shooter games, like what you mentioned there, Duke, about the doggone Grand Theft Auto, you wouldn't do this normally in public. And so your kid could actually justify it. Oh, it's just a video game. But what is this actually doing to your psyche while you're playing this game? You're running around killing people. You know what I'm saying?
Desensitizes.
If I have a second here, Shazaz, I kind of want to take us back a little step here to when you were talking about people in our society who are pre-programmed with triggers that will set them off.
Yeah.
And I kind of, if you don't mind, can we kind of touch on that again for a minute?
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a little personal history on mind control. To be specific, hypnotism. Way back when I was young, back in the, you know, back when Barry was young and we all used horse and buggy and bang stones together to start fire. Yes. When I was young, I was involved in the entertainment industry. I was a booking agent for live entertainers. And one of my clients, one of the entertainers that I booked, was a gentleman by the name of Count Desmond, D-E-S-M-O-N-D. You can find his page on Facebook. Unfortunately, the Count is suffering some health issues right now. He's fighting cancer. But what of my clients, he did, as part of his show, he did a hypnotism act. And his wife, he had her under preconditioned responses. In other words, he had hypnotized her so many times repeatedly, day after day and week after week over the years, that during his show, while she was sitting in the audience, all he had to do was say one word, and she would automatically, uncontrollably, stand up and bark like a dog, or squeal like a pig, or say something silly. He had her psychologically cued to uncontrollably respond to his trigger words.
Wow, what a
Somebody else could say them. If I said the word, it would have no effect. But in his voice, if she heard these specific trigger words, she would respond. So is it possible that something like MK Ultra mind control, or having people, as you say, Shazaz, walking among us, not even knowing that they have this trigger in them?
Yep. I believe that.
Yes, it is very real possibility.
That's why I say
the Vegas shooter.
The most powerful.
How come nobody already saw him bringing stuff up.
Yeah.
Well, maybe other people were triggered to ignore what he was doing and had been triggered to do.
That's possible as well.
We have no way of knowing, but there is definitely cause to question and suspect.
Well, that's why I say the best possible super soldier in my mind would be the one who didn't even know that they were a super soldier. You do things that you had no idea. That's why every single one of these doggone supposed shooters out there had in common was they don't know. They don't remember why they did it. They're looking at they're sitting there in the courtroom looking all dumbfounded like they have no idea what happened. You know, and the ones that are probably on the normal side that were fed all this information about how these secret societies were coming to get them and their families, it's almost, I hate to say it, but it's almost justifiable that they acted the way that they did. I mean, any common sense, any average person, if they were under threat, serious threat of somebody harming their family, are going to react. And so they were manipulated into it. They were fed false information that this actually wasn't going to happen, but they were fed that information. They believe that information to be factual because of all the other things that they've heard, conspiracies all out the eyeball or whatever, going down all these rabbit holes. They might just do something like what you've heard of these different types of episodes. You see what I mean?
When you look at the Oklahoma
now,
City bombing.
I just want to make one last final point on this whole mind control thing, and it goes back to anyone who dabbles in hypnotism will testify and tell you, unarguably, you can't hypnotize someone or mind control someone into doing something that they wouldn't do without hypnotism. You can't convince Mother Teresa to take a gun and go kill 500 people. That's just not in her character, in her soul. But there are people out there who will be triggered to do these things. And that's how they play this game.
Yep.
They paint everyone with whitewash, but it only sticks to certain people. And they don't know who until that person responds. When you look at 400 million people in the United States, paint them all with the same brush, you only need one out of 100 million to stand up, and you've got 400 people going nuts at your command.
What was you about to say, Patty?
Well, I was going to say,
that's kind
this is a little bit too
their
that.
Mind control program is based. Feed it to everyone and wait and see who responds.
Well, what we've got also is the majority of those that you're seeing that are acting, there are consistencies within all of them. And I'll go back to Timothy McVeigh here in a minute, but they have been treated with drugs from an early age, mind-altering drugs, psychotropic drugs. They have had counseling, these are troubled, quote, children who have had some type of trauma in their life. Then we look at Timothy McVeigh, who was a soldier, who was, when he was in the military, was in all kinds of testing and things like this. When Timothy McVeigh decided to blow up the Oklahoma City federal building, he filled a truck full of ammonia and fertilizer to make a bomb. Now, this is the mind of a person who knows what the heck they're doing to be able to do this. This is a person who planned it out, who set it up, knew exactly what he was doing, and he pulled up to the Oklahoma City building. He supposedly exited the truck. The bombs blew up. Then he supposedly went and got into a car with an expired tag, got on the freeway, drove under speed, causing traffic and the police found him so easily because he had an expired tag and he was driving under the speed limit. When they pulled him over and they were putting him under arrest, he was telling them things like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what you're talking about. He was not aware of what had just happened. So here we go. We've got a guy who's in the military who suddenly, for some reason, no one really knows, decided to blow up this Albert P. Murrah building. Yet nobody can put him at the scene, but they could find him on a freeway in a car with an expired tag.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I'm saying.
Yes,
the documents, documents that were in that building were very significant, weren't they?
They were. They wanted them destroyed. And the bomb that apparently
it had to
that
do
truck. Well, I've studied that bomb quite a bit, Patty, and anybody who's looked at it will know without too much time of studying that it was a PSYOP operation. That the bomb in that truck did not have the power to
do that building,
not even close to doing the damage to that building that it was supposed to.
And the fire department.
And the shock effect. The shock effect of the attack.
Right. But the fire department that was there immediately afterward were pulling people away from the building saying there's two more bombs. There are
How did they know that?
That was one of the first, that was one of the first broadcasts on the news, and then it was gone.
Why did the BBC reporter
report was never heard again?
Well, the same thing happened with 9/11.
The collapse of the seventh of Tower 7 half an hour before it happened.
Well, the same thing happened. You had
let me think about that for a minute. Oh, guys, by the way, another building's fallen down, but meanwhile, it's in the background.
With 9/11, you had a video that was done live of firemen and police, various other peoples coming out of that building covered with white dust and all that stuff, in shock, and also saying they heard numerous explosions
beneath them.
The point I'm trying to make is we see all these things. It's right across the board of these types of things. The fires, the strange actions of these fires in California. We see the 9/11. We see the amazing building watching coming down. You just know what was going on, and then the study's done, and then you have Timothy McVeigh and what else. There's been so many where these people have been used. I think it was like you're saying, Patty, looking at the faces of these people who the shooters and various other persons, and I think it was Dylan Roof, the red-headed guy, and he was it him or the other young fellow who said he heard voices in his head telling him to kill.
Yeah.
Well, there's a pattern here about the thing about the Oklahoma bombing also is that remember his accomplice, I can't remember his name. I think he was in Iowa, and they had the big barn where supposedly they put these bombs together. So this guy who is part of the accomplice is watching this all take place, sees Timothy McVeigh has been arrested, knows that Timothy McVeigh, they're on to them, they know about the fertilizer bombs and all of this stuff, but this guy does not have enough sense to take the bomb equipment and evidence out of his barn so that it can't be confiscated within the week that it took them to get to his house. So this is another thing.
Terry Lynch. Terry Lynch.
Yeah.
How convenient for the police.
How convenient for the whole agenda. The story had to be played out. And then if you look at this Terry McNichol background, I did a little bit, and I don't want to say for sure, but I believe we found connection to the CIA. So it makes sense that McVeigh had his handlers, that it was all set up properly, and he was directed what he was supposed to do. His brain was controlled. The bombs were preset. The van pulled up. The little bomb went off, and the whole building came down. And like you said, Barbara, there was critical papers destroyed in that explosion. And also, what really, really shocked the public was the nursery that blew up. And all those children that were killed. That shock effect really, really devastated people, but all part of the programming.
On purpose.
Bingo.
Of course it is. Of course it is. It's like anything they do, it's shock and awe. They shock society into doing things that we wouldn't normally do. Go ahead, Duke.
How much fertilizer would be required in the basement of that building to destroy everything in that building right up to the ceiling, to the roof of what was it, a six-story building?
What bigger than that? It was, I believe the building was 15 stories. I believe that's how big it was.
The Oklahoma bombing, was it that tall?
Yeah, we could Google it real quick. But I think it was about a 15-story building, but I might be wrong. But anyways, the fact is that of the reports, I read multiple reports on that explosion, Duke, and it would take probably 8 or 10 times as much explosive that they actually had in a van.
It would take a cruise missile to penetrate from the roof of the building to the basement to do the damage that that truck of fertilizer did.
Speaking of cruise missiles... that recently a whistleblower who was part of the military and using drones in the theater of Iraq talked about cruise missiles and his interpretation of what happened, what did hit the Twin Towers and the Pentagon was acted as cruise missiles.
You got to realize the hologram technology they have, Barbara. We know about hologram technology, what they can do with holograms now, like we've said many times in the show, if they have that 20 years advanced, what can they exactly do with hologram technology? And I've looked at the many, many videos on the planes and the abnormalities and the fact that a plane penetrated one side of the second tower and went right through the building. Well, an aluminum plane is never, ever, ever going to go do that when you look at the construction of the Twin Towers. And I tell people, you got to look at the way these buildings were built, the center core and the strength of those buildings. They could have stood 10 airplanes hitting them, and they'd never fall down.
Where were the airplane parts?
Yeah.
Where was the fuselage? Where were the engines?
Yeah, go ahead. There's so many abnormalities, Patty.
Even the one that crashed in Pennsylvania, there was nothing. No bodies, no airplane parts.
The one that flew into the Pentagon hit right at ground level, but there isn't a tire mark in the grass 20 feet away from the building.
And also,
what kind of pilot skill is that, Batman?
It came in at 550 miles an hour at ground level. The air vortex under an airplane flying that low, the plane would have disintegrated before it hit the building.
Important papers were also in that part of the
building. It hit the office, the accounting office for the money that was reported the day before by Rumsfeld on national TV.
$2 trillion
They couldn't find it. They couldn't find it. And then a missile hit the building the next day right where that accounting was being taken.
You know what else is unique about that is that you have this plane that hits the Twin Tower and it goes in there and supposedly it explodes and takes down this whole building. There's not any luggage found. There's not any personal effects found of the people who were on the plane.
But wait a second, a passport was found on the ground.
Happened to make it out of that fuselage, in that building, out of the window, all the way down to the ground and not be damaged.
Let me pose a possible scenario here that maybe most folks hadn't even really thought about. We talked about all these different types of mind control and how they could actually get people to do things that they wouldn't otherwise do.
I know where he's going.
But here's the thing right here. If they took and literally intentionally did all these things wrong while destroying these buildings just to put two different seeds of doubt in two different sets of people's minds. For example, you know, when you talk about how the missile went through there, you already know there's a set of people out there going to look at you crazy. You're a conspiracy theorist, right? But doing all these things intentionally, including something as simple as the little ID card found in that scenario, intentionally making all these different types of bloopers so that when the people saw this, would make those people so enraged that they did not want to trust their government anymore. It's already they didn't trust them prior because of, you know, track record, but to the extent now where there was such a lack of trust in government and media that would fire the flame and hopefully spark off this big, massive chaos feud amongst all the people.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense to anybody?
Yeah, because look at where we're at right now. That's been the whole... Yeah, they have to have a reason to step on us. And the only way they can do that is if we make that possible. The government is corrupt. They've made no secret. Look how corrupt we are. Look at what we're doing now. Look in your face. In your face. The people are galvanized. The militias here are ready to rise up. They've had enough. And now, what do we have? Ah, oh, we've got this freaking impeachment thing going on.
Yep.
And it's the biggest sham that you have ever seen. Purposely on TV, being broadcast to the people. So we have two sides. We have the left that are saying, we don't care if it's a sham. We want that son of a gun out.
Yep.
And then you got the people on the right that says, we care that this is a sham. They're not going to kick this guy out.
And openly saying the words civil war. Openly saying it on
yes.
the media.
Yep.
Well, now you have to ask the question, why are many of the world governments suddenly going on high alert?
Yep. Why is
exactly.
Israel? Why is Israel shut all their embassies down around the world? What's going
on?
China just says that they have the weaponry to shoot down any missile.
I just popped a video into chat, and you guys too, about this recent one. I think you put this up, sis. I'm not sure. Why are the many world governments suddenly going on high alert? If you want to know, check the video out, because there's something going on. We've talked about this. There's something going on. There's something coming. There's something going to happen, and they're setting it all up so perfectly and sweetly throughout the world. And there are signs. You just have to look.
I have a question concerning these governments that are going on high alert. How many of these governments are members of the central banking system? And how many of them are governments that operate their financial system, their currency, on gold-backed currency and aren't part of the central banking system? That differentiation could tell you why the change to a higher status of alert. If they are members of the central banking system, they're acting in response to the people who control their money. If they're members of the non-central banking system, i.e. Russia, which is not part of the central bank, their currency is hard backed. And there are other countries, a growing number of countries, that are leaving the central banking system. My curiosity here is, which ones are the ones on high alert? If it's both, then you got to keep digging. But if it's just one of those two factors or groups that are saying, hey, we're in trouble, then, you know, I got to look at $120 million a day by the Federal Reserve being pumped into the overnight payday loans program in order to keep businesses afloat overnight. $120 million.
Wow.
If it's finances that are pushing these governments to trigger these high alerts, we know why.
This has been going on for a while, and the simple fact of this is that there's a globalization movement going on. There's a new currency that's already been developed. The UN has shown it to us. It's there. It is a global currency. We've heard other countries talking about moving to this global currency. The only way that you get the world governments to move in that direction is to collapse the system that they have relied on for so long. All of this is manufactured. All of this that we are seeing, nothing is just, oh, we made a mistake. No. This is exactly the way it was meant to play out.
Exactly.
They are moving us by force because we don't have a choice.
So
we don't have a choice.
So with all that, would anybody agree that anyone within that system who wants to remain on the top when it gets to the other side are going to have to comply with certain things such as, you know, keeping their mouth shut about certain incidents that they too felt like were, you know, an inside job, so to speak?
Those kinds of inside controls are already in place here in Canada. You only have to look at
everywhere.
Our federal government telling different groups, independent groups like church-organized summer camps, who, if they don't agree to the government's mandate of recognizing multiple genders, Christian summer camps are denied federal and provincial government funding subsidies to help pay for the programs they're doing for Christian kids. Unless they agree to the gender correct mandate of the government. So what you're talking about, Shazaz, is already happening in Canada.
Wow.
It's happening everywhere, Duke. It's happening everywhere. Any G sector you look at right now, the same mandate is being played out.
It's openly blatant in Canada. What you folks are worried about secretly being snuck into the United States and deteriorating your freedom, here in Canada, they're openly, blatantly showing us that we've never had freedom. We have been slaves since the beginning of the Dominion of Canada.
Well, everybody, it's not just you people up here. It's the whole population. All of humanity has been enslaved. Every government has the same system. It's the same everywhere.
But
we're all in this together.
But I think...
Thinking that there was once upon a time a good government is like believing in the tooth fairy.
Well,
it's not.
I don't know.
No country can ever exist.
The United States, and being a Canadian sitting here looking down on the United States, not looking down, geographically looking, you know, on a map, I have to sit here and think, wait a minute. In the United States, in 1776, 1800, you guys had the foundation stone. The building blocks of a good government.
No.
In the past 200 years, it's been Frankensteined into something that it's not. It's been lobotomized into something that it's not.
I'm going to disagree with you on this one because this country, Turtle Island, where we live here, you guys are connected to Turtle. You were part of Turtle Island, too, by the way. When the Europeans came here, basically this country was founded on genocide and manifest destiny. Colonization is basically a genocide system. Manifest destiny, slavery, and genocide. That's what this country was founded on. All hidden, all pushed behind the curtain. And everybody thought this was a free country, the revolution happened, oh yeah, we're all free, we're a democracy, or whatever you want to call it. That wasn't true. So it's not so. This is it's delusional what you're saying. It's
pretty words on pretty paper.
Well,
is
except
all
that
it was.
If I can counter back to this, what you're looking at is the application of things that took place before and shortly after the formation of a constitution. What I'm referring to is the actual words used in the initial 1780s Constitution, the concept, the thought behind the choice of those words. If you read John Quincy Adams' essays, you understand why those words were chosen, what they were meant to represent, and what
because
they were meant
they
to be
knew
used
the corruptness
to build for the future. And it's that building process that has Frankenstein things into something
they
other than what it is.
They already knew. The reason they wrote it that way, where there were the few who knew that it was corrupt to begin with, it came that way. So, you know, you have the slave enslaved population here, you know, built on slavery, and even the women, the European women who came here, they were enslaved. They had no vote. Our country started on no vote for women, no vote for blacks.
No vote for Catholics either.
No vote. And also slavery.
I would gladly point that out, that Roman Catholics weren't allowed to vote in Canada or the United States because they weren't originally allowed to vote in England.
You can write up a pretty paper, but the facts are that it's all a big lie. It's all just, you know, like fairies and fluffy things. It's all a big lie.
Fast forward to today, and what do we have? We have a president who's standing up saying the right words in the right way in the perfect time because the people are ready to rise up. And what does he do? He comes in, he brings the pretty package, and he brings more pretty words on paper so that we can look at and we can say, I believe in that. That's right. That's good. And this is where we need to go. That's the same thing they did back then. We've never been separate from the crown. It was all initiated. It was all orchestrated. This was the great experiment.
Yeah.
This was the great experiment. This was the military of the world. This is why we were here. Resources and to build up a military for the world. All of this is, you can't look at any part of what we've been through in history and see a different playbook. Every civilization, every government formed under the same thing. We're doing it for the people, for the good of us, and it all ends up the same.
Well, with that
and
said,
it's the same where we are today.
Are you trying to tell me that the United States was originally conceived and designed to be Hulk Hogan while somebody else was busy on the other side of the world creating the Iron Sheik, waiting for WrestleMania?
Listen to this.
Yep.
You give the world, you give the people...
You said, that's it.
You give the people the illusion of freedom and justice, and you will get those people that would be willing to fight to the death for freedom and justice. So you're building a powerful... You're building a powerful army. You're building a powerful army. Even though they don't know that they're in prison, you're building a powerful army because they will literally fight for those beliefs, like the whole concept of being a patriot, you know, and fighting for your country. You're either with us or you're against us kind of concept. But you give them that illusion, and at least they think they're free. It's a lot easier to manipulate them into doing the things that they probably otherwise wouldn't have done. When
can you tell me, do you think that the planners of the Matrix and the controlling factor and the agenda decided to leave this part of the world out? I don't think so.
Well, I believe...
We're all in... Hello? It's like, oh, let's leave this part of the world out.
As much as I talk about the Constitution and I believe in the words that was saying in there, those were really nice words that I believe in, just like I believe in the Ten Commandments. But I still are not naive enough to not understand that during the time when this country was being founded, that there were those who were going along, but they weren't really in it to win it, if that makes any sense. That they had an ulterior motive. Okay, we're tired of losing our officers and our soldiers, so we're just going to let them think they got everything they want, and we're going to be in there. We're going to be in there with the centralized banking system. We're going to be in there with our hands in the laws, and so on down the line. So I don't think that the crown ever really truly went away. I think that it did not go away.
Think about it. Think about it.
Infiltrated.
Before the revolution, you had this place here, and this part of Turtle Island was embedded with Dutch people. Okay, these were the first ones who came here. The Dutch, mostly Dutch people, because this is how the history went. Then you have the British coming in, and then we have our revolution. But in the meanwhile, there were embedded here banking systems, all kinds of corporations were embedded, properties, lands were bought. This was a system that was functioning by those from the other side of the big waters, okay? You could say the elite or those of the...
Central banking
people.
Was created by Queen Mary.
And so then you have...
100 years before America.
Then you have the so-called revolution to set us free from the monarchy, the queen, and all that. Do you really think that these people, the cabal, the elite, and those who were settled here and had their properties and had their corporations and had their banking systems and all whatever it was, packed up their little bags and put their tail between their legs and went home and said, okay, we're gone.
Nope.
No, they did not. They just stepped behind the curtain, and the monarchy and the controlling factor, the elites, still continued, and the matrix had been set all over the world for every country to bring us to where we are today,
and so,
in this moment in time.
So something to what Duke said earlier about, I can't remember what he said now earlier, but the people having the illusion that they are free, that actually has played out to benefit us to the extent where this has been the longest running, if you want to call it an empire, in the history of time. The Romans didn't even outlast the United States. And so the United States is still standing because the people have this illusion of checks and balances and the thoughts of freedom and patriotism. So that's why I believe that this country has been able to stand as long as it has, because of the fact that not just America's involved, but you got Europe and other nations like that that are financially backing a lot of things going on here. You got international bankers with the money and power and say in the deal. And so basically, United States just become one big massive military training ground. and unfortunately for them, some parts of their plan backfired, because now you've got people who really truly believe that they're free and they're willing to do whatever it takes to preserve that freedom. Does that make any sense?
Well,
it does to me.
America.
I just recently read a quote from Mark Twain. I don't remember the whole quote.
Never mind.
Sorry, go ahead, Barb. I didn't hear you. Your microphone's very quiet on my end. I didn't hear you. I apologize. Go ahead.
I was just going to respond to the war thing, saying America has been at war 93% of the time. In other words, 222 out of 239.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
That's how much we have been at war, that much. Think of that.
But I think
since
we're being
1776.
Used. But I think we're being used. I think every single one of us is being used. We're being used under the guise of we're fighting for freedom and patriotism, when in reality, we're being manipulated, and that's what this whole entire thing is all about.
And this is since the year 1776. We have been at war during 214 out of her 235 calendar years of existence. Think of that.
Well, folks, we're at the top here, and man, this has been a really brilliant conversation. I wish that we could just stretch it out a little further, but I got things I got to do today. I don't know about y'all, but one of the things I wanted to show people with this deal, first I started off by saying evil believes in you. It don't matter whether you believe in the devil or not. I mean, the devil, if the devil exists, the devil believes in you. Believe that. And you will do as you're told. Otherwise, just like the book says, you ain't going to be able to buy, sell, or trade. It don't even have to come from the book saying you ain't going to buy, sell, or trade. All you got to do is look at the doggone way that everything's set up, a cashless society. You make the wrong person mad, even in today's day and age, that person can literally devastate your financial life, your physical life, and even take away your freedom that you believe you got. That's the power that these people have. So if you don't think evil believes in you, then I don't know what to tell you. But if you look at all the technology you're toting around and the way that you're treating each other and the amount of information that you freely hand over to the people that you so-called are up against, the people you despise, the Antifa group, they always like to say fascist while being fascist. And, they're always out there destroying their own communities in order to try to get a result from a government who just don't care. Folks, you just You got to understand, when you're out there protesting, it don't matter what you do. You throw trash on the ground. So what? Somebody's getting paid. You go out and commit a crime, you get thrown in jail. For-profit prisons is a real thing these days. So somebody's getting paid. You go to court and you pay your fine, somebody's getting paid. It's all about the whole money issue. International bankers that go under the guise of Federal Reserve, when in fact there ain't nothing federal about the Federal Reserve. They snuck in it back in the 30s, and they're taking you to the bank. They're taking you to the cleaners. They are literally keeping you pitted against each other, because the more you fight amongst each other, the more power they get, the more money they make. They want you to go to war. They want to promote civil war, because they've already put the tools in place for just such an emergency that you finally wake up and say, hey, 9/11 was an inside job. And you turn around and get riled up and say, all right, it's time for me to exercise my rights according and my duty according to the United States Constitution and overthrow this tyrannical system. They're ready for you. They are ready for you. You can count that. You can take that.
They're waiting for it. They're hoping for it, because once they create chaos, they wait until the public is fed up and sick of the chaos. Then they trot out their Che Guevara personality and present the only solution. And the war-torn mindset public grab it onto any solution they can find, even if it's one that puts them right back into the slavery that they were fighting against.
Yep. One of you mentioned...
Last 2 minutes here, guys. We're down to the top of the hour. It's time to go around the field.
One last thing. One of you mentioned about evil, actually a couple of you mentioned about evil having to advertise their intentions of what they're getting ready to do to you. I believe they do that in the doggone media. But I want to suggest once again, I know Barbara and Patty's actually watched it, go watch the entire series of Jericho, and it will blow your doors off of how much of that matches up to what you've been hearing in the media throughout the last several years, even back into the Obama administration and prior. You watch it and tell me if you ain't concerned. But either way, like Barry said, it's time to go around the table. Which one y'all want to go first?
Ladies first.
I will go. You know what? You know what's important at this time? Of all the things we talked about, of all the things that matter, the only thing that really matters in all of this, that you stay true to yourself, that you stand strong in your truth, and that you do everything that you can to make a benefit in this world. It doesn't mean that we win the big golden ring. That's not what it's about. It's about what each of us individually do right now. You have to let go of the shore. You have to step in to the river and let it carry you. That's where we find our peace. That's where we find our ability to withstand this that we are in. We can't change what is going to happen. I know that a lot of people do feel that if we just got enough people to change the frequency, and that would be, but that's not how things are going. We are at a point in time right now to where our choices belong to us now. We're not responsible for anyone else. We're not responsible for any actions that can be done to change things other than what we change ourselves. And that's where our strength is, and that's where our power is, and that's where we win. We win against the principalities. We win against the darkness only by standing in our truth, in love, and in our own power. By living it, by making it our life's walk. That's the way we win today. And I love everyone out there. And just stay strong. don't get mixed up in it. See it for what it is. Know where you're at, and walk accordingly is all I can say.
Well,
I love each and every one of you. Thanks.
Great words. What, much as I hate to say it, you know, I can't disagree, because I still say I believe in the dream, but, you know, the dream is starting to fade as far as what I've been seeing in society. It's starting to fade. It's like, you know, I wish that we could all bring, we could bring everybody together and make this world right, but I'm afraid we're in this for the ride. And, you know, so with that said, you're going to have to be strong as an individual so you can be strong for others. So what do you got to say, Barbara? You got any words of wisdom?
Oh, I don't know if they're going to be wisdoms, but thank you, everyone, for hanging out with us here today. Great conversation. And, you know, I feel, thank you, my sister, because I'm right there with you. And I feel that this is an awesome time. I cannot step away from that, to me, because that's the image I feel. That's the energy that I feel, that this is an extraordinary, awesome time that we are here to witness, participate in. And the main thing for me is not to be in fear, not to be angry, not to play their game, because they want us to be in fear. They want us to be riled and angry. They want us to be going crazy trying to get people to wake up and get frustrated and stuff because people aren't waking up and so on. I am not a doomer and gloomer, and I do have a great faith, and I have that foundation, which I think is, I call it that spiritual foundation. Get right with your creator, and I never thought I'd be starting to say that, but to me that's a frequency. I'm not talking about any religion. I'm talking about what that really means as far as the energy and frequency that you are. And I do believe in that the frequencies and energies and what we think about and what we speak, how we speak, is manifesting and creating our reality. So if you want things to change, you have to go inside and change yourself. And to me, that frequency of love, unconditional love, and gratitude and joy is a key piece that is a protective, taking a protective measure, I guess I call it, because it's an energy, it's a frequency that is, has a power. So that's why I say we are more powerful than we could ever imagine. We are not helpless, and we are not hopeless, and things are not hopeless. And ultimately, I guess, all in the end, nothing's going to matter. What you think is important, what you're crazy about right now and upset about and all that stuff, not, it's not going to matter. What's going to matter is how you were here, how you walked in the way on the earth and during this time. But to me, we're here because we agreed to come here, and I guess you have to figure that out. Well, what was your agreement, and what is your purpose? And I feel that this is, like I said, the purpose to me is to shift the energy of hate and violence and continual war and negativity by those perpetrators who need that energy. They need that food from us. I'm not going to feed them. I'm not going to play their game. That's all I see. Bill Amaya.
Well, the man behind the curtain keeps trying to close the curtain, and we keep pulling it back. So I think we're doing good at what we're doing. So which one of you gentlemen want to go next?
Duke, you want to say something before we leave?
Well, it's me. There's lots of things I want to say.
Yeah, okay. You only got a minute.
I think I'm just going to restrict it down to saying thank you to Shazaz and everybody for once again having me in here. And I would like to invite Shazaz to one of my, I think the Canadian audience needs to hear some perspective from outside the Great White North. And, sir, I would be honored if you would consider coming on one of my Friday, Saturday, or Sunday evening shows.
We'd love to do that.
There you go.
Excellent.
Let me know. We'll set it up.
Maybe you, me, and Barry, the three of us, could do a show some night.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, no, wait a second. If you're going to get Shazaz in, I'm not going to get a chance to talk, Duke. So,
all you got to do is...
I want you to get Shazaz in there and start talking about hydrogen cells and a few other things. It's going to be like the Duracell bunny. Okay?
Barry, all you got to do is tell me to shut my pie hole.
Hey, listen, when I get you on my show, Shazaz, people want to hear what you have to say because you're an incredible wealth of information. And I'm glad you're going to honor Duke with an appearance on his show because Canadian people need to hear some of the things you got to say.
Well, I think it'd be awesome. I'd be honored.
There you go.
So,
your motive? My ulterior motive is to get my Canadian audience to come and listen to your show. That's the purpose for having you on. Honestly, if not promote my show, it's because I want my audience to open their perspective to other opinions from around the world, and let's start with our nearest next-door neighbor, you guys.
Sounds wonderful.
Well, you know, that's what we're here for, isn't it? I mean, these conversations on Sunday morning are, I'm honored to be in here with Patty and Barbara. There's incredible wealth of information, have true hearts, and I love them to death, and these conversations are the best conversations I have during the course of the week. Every time I come in here, I learn something, and a new perspective is added to my brain. So, if we do that with each other, we can amalgamate, and we can get other people showing up on other shows. I know the Canadian audience would love to hear from you, Shaziz. So let's do that. And you know, it's always great to be in here. I don't know what else I can say on what's been said today. It's been an awesome show, and thanks a lot for having me.
Thank you, everybody. Well, folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Roundtable. Like I always say to you, the only way to get information out to you, everybody, is if there's anything in this podcast that touched your heart or mind or whatever in a positive manner and you think it's worthy of sharing with somebody, please share these links. I would love to have as many people from as many nations come together and have these types of conversations with each other, as opposed to the alternative, which we all know is war. And I don't want to go to war with Russia. I don't want to go to war with China. I don't want to go to war with Canada. I don't want to go to war with Europe or Asia. I want to have our brothers and sisters enjoy something that I feel like God gave us the opportunity to have, and that's peace and love on this beautiful gift that we've been given. So that's my motivation. That's why it is I do what I do. I love everybody here, and I'm honored and I'm humbled, and I am truly blessed every time I get to sit down with these wonderful folks and talk to you wonderful people out there. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Peace and love.
What was that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive.
We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We're the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
Old woman!
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords, is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.